The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
We're going to skate to one song only. Lady Hump by the Black Eyed Peas. What you going to do with all that junk inside my trunk? I'm going to get you drunk, off my lady hump, my hump, my lovely lady hump.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
It's over. All the endorsements, everything gone. Oh my God, I can't get a real job. It'll kill me.
Paul Perillo.
Is that your routine or a performance of Cirque du Soleil? Besides, you're too late. They already handed out the girls' medals this morning.
And Andy. And Andy?
You an official here? Because you have officially given me a boner.
Andy Hart.
Ah! Nutsack!
Hey! You gotta be careful, man. Unlike you, I actually use these things.
Hey, look, I didn't mean to drag your balls into the discussion. That was uncalled for. They're fine. I overreacted.
Eric Scalavino.
So how'd it go with your lady? Carve up any ice? With your wiener?
For now, anyway.
Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Did you just say mind-boggling?
Yeah, mind-boggling. You know, when things are so crazy, it gets your thoughts all trapped like in a bottle.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
From here on out, you guys are a team. You understand? You are going to eat together, sleep together. You are going to pee together. You're going to file a joint income tax return. Practice starts now.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. That's if you were ever here before. And if you never listened to us, welcome.
Shame on you.
Yes. It's Wednesday. No, it's Thursday here at Gillette Stadium.
You've never listened to us? Thanks for trying and goodbye.
And we have a huge breaking news as of the last 45 minutes. Austin Colley is at practice and has been signed by the New England Patriots. And obviously that's going to be a big topic today. Well, if he's at practice.
I'm just saying reportedly. Has the release been sent? It's not official.
No. But Jeff Howe said he was at practice.
So did Eric Scalavino. Well, Eric Scalavino said there was a number 10 at practice practicing who he now believes to be Austin Colley. But still, it is not official until we get a release.
I think we're pretty sure it is. And so that's the big topic du jour. And, of course, the Cincinnati Bengals coming up on Sunday. We're going to do our picks, the last portion of the show today. So it's a big, big show. Here at PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number.
In France, 0800-912-384.
Okay, that's the France toll-free number, and we have a number of international toll-free numbers.
Some of them even work.
You can go check them out. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. So right off the bat, guys, what do you make of this? If it is true, signing of Austin Colley.
Well, you have a number of receivers on the injury report. Not only Amendola,
like
and Slater, who didn't play last week, and even though Slater's not really a receiver, but both your young receivers are now on the injury report, Dobson with the neck and Tompkins with the shoulder. And you yourself, or no, one of the emailers once called Julian Edelman between injuries, I guess. So
you need
depth
some insurance.
Is a question, right?
Yeah.
My guess is at least one of the rookies is really dealing with something. It's not just on the injury
right.
report. There's a chance he may not play. Now, I don't know how ready Austin Colley is going to be, A, to play, and B, to get on the same page with Brady and contribute. I have no idea if he's going to be game ready in a week.
The one thing about Colley is that
he's been working out for virtually every team in the league.
But he's a dog.
When it comes to just quick, short patterns, quick slants, that type of thing, that's kind of how he made his bread and butter.
You think that's easier?
They might need that this week. You know, if all these guys are injured and Brady simply needs targets, they're going to have to get the ball out of Brady's hands fast. You know, he can't.
So certainly the Bengals will also want to get after you. They have a powerful front with an
right.
interior pass rusher.
So he's
rusher.
Not going to be able to sit back there and survey the field. It's
correct.
Gonna, it's going to happen.
But we have no idea what Austin Colley
is. Yeah, but why does that make Colley any better equipped to do that without any familiarity with the system?
He's a slot receiver. That's what he does.
No, I understand that. But Andy's point was we have no idea if he's going to be ready to play right away.
Oh, I don't know.
You have to learn what the slot receiver does in New England.
I think it could be more dangerous because he has to get rid of it quickly. He thinks Colley's going to be somewhere. He isn't. It's deflected or whatever, and it's a pick.
Yeah.
You can throw some really bad picks on those short passes.
Someone could brush into
him.
I'm sure
that after practice today, tomorrow, and the walkthrough on Saturday, They're going to be working on a handful of stuff between the two of them that they can if they have to.
The big picture to me, and I asked Andy this on the way down, are you concerned that one of the rookies will not play on Sunday?
Yes.
Okay. Which one?
I'm thinking Dobson, maybe because of the neck, you know, just a caution.
So you're just thinking all those reports are wrong?
What reports?
That he's fine?
Yeah, they could be wrong. I mean, why would they sign Collie?
Well, it could be Tompkins.
Well,
he's on the injury report,
too. But it's an injury, you know, to somebody. And Amendola and I also be coming back either.
Well, I also think that they might be just looking, you know, I know that you think that they had a lot of depth, but they might not think they had as much depth.
I said they'll have depth when Amendola and Gronkowski.
No, I know, but they might not think that. They might think they need him, even with Amendola and Gronkowski.
And when did they work him out?
I mean, because they are bringing him in when Amendola and Gronkowski are seemingly on the verge of returning.
But they also worked him out this summer.
Yes.
So they've had a lingering interest, I'll refer to it as, I guess.
Right.
Now, I have no idea what he is, and it's not just the concussions. The guy blew out his patella tendon.
Right.
I have no idea what he looks like running routes now and what he has or doesn't have.
He can't look too good, otherwise he'd probably be working, right?
Well, but he was in San Francisco and didn't make it out of camp.
The fear of concussion could keep him out of the league.
Yes.
If the knee is healthy or not, but I don't know if he is actually healthy also with a knee, and if he is ready to be quick and moving around underneath and getting out of the slot and all that crap.
I agree with you, Andy. I think the fear of concussion, I like the way you put that. That could keep you out of the league.
Yes.
There's so many different layers to that. Because not only you're worried about the guy getting hurt, so he's not reliable for you. I mean, that's what a coach's problem would be with that kind of a player. But an organization might say, I don't want to have him on my roster when he suffers his next concussion.
Right.
And then potentially I'm liable. You know, geez, how many concussions did you think the guy was going to get before the last one?
I don't know. Is anyone liable anymore? I thought once that lawsuit was passed, no one could sue for anything ever again.
Yeah, you know, speaking of which, and we don't have to branch off into that tangent, but that book, and I don't know all the details of it. Did you see this?
No.
Would they supposedly have proof that the NFL, you know, 20 years worth of...
Really? Who wrote the book?
Those badasses from ESPN.
Yeah, contradicting the NFL.
Steroid guys.
NFL saying there's no correlation between, you know, the hits and the concussion or something like that, or the long-term implications. I forget it. Like I said, I forget exactly the details, but I'm glad, Andy, at least you saw what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, no, it's and the book's going to be interesting. There was an excerpt in both ESPN the magazine and Sports Illustrated, sort of with bullet points, but it's the, what are their names? Wahardi Wu or whatever?
Is it Fanaru Wada?
Yeah, the Book of Shadows guys, the guys who did the heavy investigative research into the steroids, have now put their powers to be, so to speak, at this steroid issue. And some of it is rehashed.
Concussion issue.
I mean, concussion issue. Some of it is rehashed. Some of it's the Jets guy who was the head of the committee, doctor, yes, you're ready to go back in, everybody was ready to go back in.
Right.
But I think, I hope for the league's sake that settlement they reached, because I'm not sure that is totally... signed, sealed, delivered, and ratified. You know, the reports came out that was done, but then you read some of the fine print, and it said if a certain number opted out, that it didn't, and other things happened, blah, blah, blah. I think this would... Now, I'm guessing this information, a lot of it was in the lawsuit. You know, it's already been before the judge, but the fact that it's going to become more public and more delved into media-wise wouldn't be good if that topic was still sort of open for debate and litigation. So it's not good for the league in general.
Right. So let me get this straight, going back to Austin
Collie.
I think I know Paul's stance. Paul's stance
I don't really know.
Doubt the receivers overall. Regardless of injuries, they think they need help. Is that your stance?
No, I think they're just bringing a guy in and taking a flyer. I really don't think they think of him as being some sort of long-term solution.
Okay, but why now?
I think the stuff that we talked about with Tompkins and
Dobson. Injury
and Dobson, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm with you guys on the injury related.
What do you think, Andy?
What?
Why they signed Collie at this time?
Oh, I think there's definitely concern of the depth at receiver. I don't know who or why exactly, but to have everybody on there, it could be a lengthening of the Amendola. Maybe they're not quite as sure he's going to be back immediately. And then I got to think one of the two rookies is going to miss some time. That would be just my take on it.
I really think that these reports could be wrong about Dobson, and one or both of he and Tompkins could be out, and I think they're really worried that Brady has no targets against a team that's going to have a bullseye on him all Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's injury related. I think we're all in agreement.
You know, so
which makes for a boring show. That's unfortunate.
Well, I mean, what else would it be about? If they were healthy, they're not signing off.
I'd like
to
fabricate something, but I can't come up with anything right now.
Well, it could be like Paul was intimating that, you know, even though some of us are excited about the progress of Tompkins.
Don't you love how he puts it?
And Dobson, maybe the team is not seeing it, and they say, you know, this isn't good enough. We need, even when Amendola and Gronkowski comes back, we need more firepower. Maybe that's, you know.
Some of us are excited about, you know, the prospects of Gronk and Amendola returning. He makes us like, it's like he's a pro-lifer, you know?
Right.
Like, if you're not pro-life, you're pro-death.
So, but if that were the case, if this were just like a big picture, there's not enough, wouldn't they have signed him previously?
That's the other argument. Sure.
I think this feels related
to
health.
Well, but unless
I agree. I'm with you guys.
And, you know, they've had Colley on the back burner. Now they said, you know what, we do need him. You know, they were holding out until they felt that they needed
him. Yeah, I don't buy it. It's injury.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's got to be an injury to some or all or couple.
I believe, you know, you look at that injury and all these guys all of a sudden popped up. No one knew about Tompkins. We knew about Dobson.
Well, Tompkins got hurt in the game.
I know, but, you know, did we think it was that bad?
I don't know. Do we think it's that bad now?
Yeah, I see.
I don't think he played after that, did he?
Now we're getting an indication that maybe it is. Maybe it's enough to keep both Dobson and Tompkins out of this game. Or, you know,
yeah, I would be stunned if Dobson doesn't play, and if unless the coaches don't want him to play
because of the report.
Because, yeah, I mean, immediately everybody's, you know, he doesn't have anything serious.
Well,
he's expected to be at practice, and first practice he was out there.
But what if it's that neck thing, and it's like, yeah, you know, he can practice, but we don't want him to have contact, just as a precaution.
It could be. I think that the bigger reason would be that they don't necessarily need him to play. That would be my point. Almost like a healthy scratch.
Yeah.
Now I wouldn't characterize him as a healthy scratch if he doesn't play, because he is on the injury report.
Yeah.
But I think that if he couldn't play because of that injury, I don't think he'd be practicing. That's all my point is. Tompkins, I really don't know about, because that was kind of weird. He came up funny after he caught that. He made the diving catch for the touchdown. It looked like he started to celebrate, and then all of a sudden, it looked like something was bothering him. You know, you wonder if maybe there's like a slight separation there. Maybe he landed on the shoulder funny. He didn't realize it at the time. We've heard nothing about him.
Right.
So that concerns me.
Right.
Now, again,
and that
now he was
be
at
the
now,
loss,
now he was at practice too.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
He was limited
Gronk's
at practice too.
For a month. Amendola for 3 weeks.
No, I'm saying I just wanted to be consistent. I said Dobson's practicing, right. So I'm not worried about him. Tompkins is practicing, and I am worried about him. I mean,
all their hurt guys have been practicing. They just don't play.
Right.
Leon Washington.
And of the two, Dobson or Tompkins, you'd probably say they can do more without Dobson than Tompkins. They need Tompkins more. Well,
yeah, Tompkins has been ahead the entire time and continues to be ahead.
Right. So maybe, you know, so then, you know, you're leaning towards, okay, Tompkins is the one that they think may not be able to play. Right? That's why you'd be forced to go and get somebody from the outside.
Well, I don't know that that's true.
Oh.
You need depth.
Yep.
You can't.
Well,
I don't think you can just go in with two receivers.
Yeah.
And if you go, whether it's Dobson bumping up to Tompkins and it's Edelman Dobson,
right?
You can't go in with just two.
So there's a chance that even if, you know, with Colley on the team, if Dobson plays and Amendola comes back, Colley may not even be active.
Sure.
You know,
well, I think there's a chance of that, too. That's right. Andy's point, was we don't know what he can do right
now.
Guy's
right off the street with multiple injury questions, doesn't know the system.
Yep.
I mean, who knows? He could be cut tomorrow.
And do we have any reports from the tryouts, like speed or agility or anything?
No.
Like what people saw from him?
No. We know the 49ers didn't see enough to keep him.
Right. And then he worked out with Detroit?
Yeah, he's had
Tennessee,
a couple workouts.
This week.
Oh, I know he had previous ones.
Yeah, he had a couple this week in addition to the Patriots. I wanted to say Detroit and Tennessee.
So why don't you?
Because I'm not sure.
50-50.
Much like everything else, I'm not sure.
Are you putting your hopes in Austin Colley, Fred?
I'm not.
No. I'm
setting the over-under at 2.5 games.
Because I'm going to tell you, if Austin Colley steps on the fields and is expected to have a significant role, that's bad
it's
news.
It's not a matter of putting hopes in. It's trying to figure out, you know, why they signed him in the timing.
Because 4 of their 6 receivers are injured.
I think that's the answer.
I do, too.
I think it's pretty simple. Sometimes it's not simple. I think this time it's very, very simple.
Sometimes the obvious is what you have to go with.
Along those lines, real quick, in the obvious, as we're starting to work on, I know it's a week ahead, but the Saints preview. Remember how all offseason we just said, you know, Peyton's going to be back, so they're going to be back. And they are. Like, they're 4-0. Like, you know, you look at it and you say it shouldn't make that big a deal. You still had Drew Brees. You still had your team. But clearly Peyton makes that organization stick together, run, work.
He's a good coach.
I think that's why he got a raise despite being suspended.
Yeah, and, you know, Mickey Loomis is back, too. Don't forget that.
That's true. Mickey Loomis.
All right, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline, 855-PATS-500. What else? Vince Wilfork still on the roster?
Well, probably not.
I would say if this Colley thing goes through, it would have. My guess would be that's when
they're going to have to clear.
Because if they cut somebody to sign Colley and leave Vince on the roster, now I think something smells funny there.
Yeah.
Now I think there's something to talk about there.
Like maybe they're going to have a steady diet of skinless chicken for Vince to get him back for the playoffs.
Deer antler spray. Because I think there is zero chance that he could come back for the playoffs. Zero. I think that, as I said yesterday, would be irresponsible. But if that happened, if they somehow added Colley to the roster without Vince going on IR, that would give me reason to pause and say, what the F is going on? Right now, I just think they were
now
waiting
to sign
Colley.
Now I'm kind of rooting for it because I want to see Indy pause and say, what the F is going on?
Right. Yeah, so you would assume that he'll be placed. That would create the slot. But don't they procedurally already have to have done that if he's at practice, Colley?
Oh, yeah, probably. Just because we don't know about it, the move is already done. Yeah,
don't mean it didn't happen.
Right.
Don't mean didn't happen.
I mean, I don't know if like you're allowed to.
Sly Stallone reporting on the Patriots.
Are you allowed to
friends
like
don't know they do because they want
to
do.
Try out a guy at practice, or does that have to be separate?
I don't think during the regular season you can.
I don't know the rule on that.
I'm pretty sure in the regular season you can't. You can obviously throughout the offseason. We saw that in offseason camps and even in training camp, right? When everybody thought it was Jabari Gaffney and it was Chaz Schillens or whoever.
Right.
But I don't think during the regular season you can bring a guy out there to try out. Yeah. I don't think that works that way.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure Austin Colley's on the team. Everybody has confirmed it. The ESPN, the Boston Globe, everybody. Right. I'm just saying it hasn't been officially announced by the New England Patriots yet. Nor has Vince been put on IR yet.
Okay. Anything else that we need to put on the table before we get to the calls and emails? There was a media story that I forgot what it was that I wanted to bring up. But I'll remember it later.
What do you mean a media story?
You know, one of those, we like to sometimes talk about the media. I don't know if it was.
Now he's openly looking for opportunities.
I don't know if it was specifically media on media crime, but there was something interesting about, I think it had to do with Patriots coverage. But I forget what it was. I'll think of it later.
Okay.
We talked about it today?
No.
Oh.
It was something I read about this morning.
Just a little foreshadowing, Freddie. A big week for Freddie. The picks contest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Actually is this week, unlike your previous weeks when you pretend it is.
Yeah, you're taking over.
I won again.
You should really start just
betting. I have some interesting picks for today.
Are you also going to continue to pick teams you don't think are going to win?
So you don't like staying in first place is what you're telling us?
Some more foreshadowing. I've got some interesting picks.
Are you emotionally prepared to lose to the Bengals?
We'll talk about that when we do the picks.
Why do we push it to the last 5 minutes? We cover the Patriots and we're talking about the Bengals. I didn't say you have to give me your pick. Are you emotionally prepared to lose to the Cincinnati
Bengals?
I'd
prefer to talk about it later.
Oh, my God. So yes is the answer.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, unless you have something else that you want to bring up.
No, I'm good.
Is Eric coming?
He'll be by later.
Yeah?
I think.
Okay.
I assume. He usually comes for the picks, doesn't he?
Yeah, he'll be here.
He'll saunter in?
Yeah.
I saw some critical emails of him yesterday through the Rook Show.
Yeah,
be
a
negative
lot of people
again,
were...
Andy got a call yesterday on his radio spot.
Somebody, the first call of the day was about, I remember back Patriots Football Weekly. You guys were really critical of Belichick playing Gronkowski on special teams when he broke his arm late in the game.
We were?
And I said,
No, was that
do you remember who wrote that story? And the guy, I think it was Scalavino. And I go, oh, yeah, it doesn't surprise me. We call him Negativino. He must have done a commentary when Gronk broke his arm, ripping him for playing him late in the game.
Oh, there was some probably indignant commentary.
But, yeah, so Eric, the brand of Eric is kind of growing.
Yeah, a lot of people were critical of him during Rook about his negativity.
You guys missed I don't know, I'll play this for you. It's 10 seconds. This was a classic on Rook's show yesterday.
All right, could be married to the most beautiful woman you've ever seen, but when you see her every day, you'll see her with,
warts.
At her worst.
Warts.
Yeah. She's still beautiful, maybe, but...
Does Giselle have warts?
I don't think I want to know.
So Giselle has warts, according to Rook.
Giselle has flaws.
What the hell are they talking about?
I don't know, but that was a gem.
But I guess
what goes on in this place?
I need to cut. See, my goal is to cut that. Does Giselle have warts? Because that's funny.
I'll tell you what it's time for, Fred. You know your radio empire, as you like to refer it to.
Yeah.
I think you just need to expand us. We need to do 4 hours.
But you know,
every day and eliminate the paper. I hate when he just blows me off.
One of the emailers said that Eric said was that he's paid. His job is to be negative.
Yes, you know? That's true. He said he went.
He said that?
Yes,
yeah.
He said
that's
that
not his job.
No,
said
I know.
He said that he's paid to see the warts in the imperfections.
You're paid to analyze.
Yes.
You're not paid to find the warts. You're paid to analyze what you see.
Right.
You can acknowledge the warts.
Absolutely. Right. That's not the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. So he's never going to be objective like Paul and I.
So
I'll tell you, what did you do, Fred? It's like bizarro. I'm telling you, it's bizarro PFW in progress. Andy and I, voices of reason. Who thunk it? Who would have thunk it?
Well, I would have, but no one ever bought it before.
Oh, yeah.
Does Giselle have warts?
I don't think we should be talking about Brady's wife.
Oh, I do. She's a public figure.
Yeah, I know, but still.
No, she is not Brady's wife. She's Giselle, a supermodel. That's
probably the most famous supermodel of all time.
That's different.
Or as she was referred yesterday on 98.5 The Sports Hub when I was on with Felger and Maz, Gretchen.
Gretchen Bunchen.
Gretchen Bunchen.
Yeah, that was funny.
I mean,
that.
She's fair game.
Yeah.
Gretchen. That's her lot in life.
Yeah, I guess so.
Now, there's nobody else we should be talking about. You know, Ted Johnson learned that lesson the hard way. But
right.
A regular wife, I don't think you should talk about. But it's kind of like what I said with the media. You're in the media. You're in the public spectrum. You're worthy of discussion.
People call up and yell at us all the time.
Right,
sure.
People call up and rip your chest
hair
hanging out
on
TV.
You know, people write in, they call me, you know, Portly Paul and the fat one. I mean, that's...
Yeah, but that's just me.
No, but they write in because of that. So that's part of
By
what
way,
you sign
I,
up
I heard
for.
We had the lowest ratings
last
week.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah.
We sucked. I blame our producer.
The ratings were low across the board.
Yeah.
For everybody.
It was not a banner week.
Yeah, we weren't
that
we weren't very far behind.
Why is that? Because it was the first week that, you know, it was kind of back to a normal week.
Why do you try to figure these things out every week? You try to analyze. Every time the rating comes out, you go, that's because of blank. Like, there's some rhyme or reason to it.
Well, when they're good, it's because of us.
Besides
bad,
the fact that
somebody else.
They vary by about, you know, 15 people watching from one day, from one day to the next.
That's the thing. It's... You know, you're talking cable TV ratings.
Right.
So.
It's not like big numbers like this show.
Right. A ratings point.
Oh, our ratings on this show blow
huge.
That away.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah.
But we also have the whole globe, not just, you know, a little portion of New England.
More people listen to this show than saw the ending of Breaking Bad, from what I understand.
From what I understand.
That's not true.
No, you really need to clear that up
what
for
was
us.
It? How many? 4
because
million?
Because we'll get emails. What, are you crazy?
How many million watch Breaking Bad?
Ten million,
and it was 4 million more than something. I don't know.
It's more 4 million more than something else.
Yeah, I forget what the rest of that was.
All right,
it's typical me though. I know a little bit about something, but don't really know what the point is.
All right, enough to sound stupid.
We have callers holding on. Eddie's in Maryland. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Got two important points.
Okay,
bring it.
Actually, one's a point, one's a question. Hey, first, the Rob Gronkowski, man, I want to commend him in a sense, man. I think he's taking ownership over his career in a sense. You know, he's not going to let the Patriots play him. Hey, he'll come back when he's ready. He's shown how tough he is. We don't need to question his toughness. You know, he's been hurt a couple times. You know, last year, the doctors somehow, you know, they told him one thing. And, you know, those two injuries, I don't blame him for taking his time. And, you know, I come back when you're ready, man, mentally, physically. I have no problems with that, plain and simple.
No, I hear that. And Eddie, you reminded me what I wanted to talk about. So I'll talk when your call's over. I'll bring it up. But yeah, no, I hear.
You know, something
he's in a tough spot. He
something
really
came to me yesterday too. You know, remember we were surprised a couple weeks ago. The report came out. It's the forearm still, not the back, that's holding him back.
Right.
And I wondered, kind of really digging deeper. He's dealt with the back before. He knows that he can return from it. He knows what he felt like when he did return from it. It was a longer period of time. He had basically a full year between his last year at Arizona, his first year here. He doesn't know what the forearm feels like when it's ready to go, because he knows what it felt like last January when he rebroke it. You know what I mean? And he doesn't know when it's ready. He knows when the back is ready. He's been through that before and had a positive experience.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's a question in his own mind. Yeah, they say it's ready, but this kind of feels like it felt last time and it wasn't ready.
But
I broke it again.
I'm guessing, like, you talked about, Andy, when you had your ACL, they put you through strength tests, see
what
the range of motion was and all that stuff. I would imagine they would do the same thing with his forearm, right?
Oh, yeah, they'd do something.
Yeah.
But my point would be, there's other guys, you know, there's pitchers that have gone through it and blown out their arm again. Tommy John surgery, you pass everything you needed, and you throw for a while, you've off the mound, long toss, and you get, you know, into your first start, and you blow your arm out again. The doctors all said you were ready, that shouldn't have happened, but I gotta think if that guy did it again, he'd be scared to hell when the doctors say, oh, you're ready now, go ahead, throw 90, throw as fast as you can.
Right.
So, I just think the fact that he had a positive, he knows when the back is healthy in his own mind, because he's done it before. He doesn't know when the forearm's healthy in his own mind, because, Why do I hear all this bonging in the background?
I don't know.
It's my fault.
Usually is.
The computer was potted up for when I played the Rook sound, and when you get an email, that's what it sounds like.
So you didn't pot
very
down.
Rare.
What?
I said when you get an email, it says very rare.
I thought we get a lot of emails.
We get a ton of emails.
All right, Eddie, sorry. Show. Let's go, Crab Boy.
Question, guys. Let me ask you something. Now that Vince is out, is there any way that somehow the Patriots changed their defensive line? You know, this read and react, you don't have the big guy in the middle, so you're not going to be able to stop the run like you could with Vince. So,
yeah,
I think send those guys, you know what I mean? Be more attacking with that front four now.
Perhaps. They might have to take, because, yeah, I mean, Vince is, whoever's in the middle, if it's...
Thanks a lot, guys.
Joe, all right,
peace out, Eddie.
You know,
thanks,
Joe Milano or Chris Jones, he's not going to be able to do what Vince does, which is, you know, take up two guys and...
Yeah, but the problem is, you brought those guys in to play your defense. So I'm guessing Joe Villano and Chris Jones are better at playing like Vince to some degree, you know, holding up offensive linemen and not shooting the gap. You'd have to plan for that. You'd have to bring in guys you thought were gap shooters.
I do think that's the principles of what they do defensively. The other six guys that are in the front seven with Vince play like that.
Right.
I don't think you can just sit there and say, oh, we don't have Vince anymore, so let's just go and
do
this
do
whole
different
thing.
They will. I guarantee they do a lot of different things.
I think personnel-wise, you'll see some different things. Maybe alignment-wise, you might see some different things. But I don't think that you're going to just suddenly see seven guys charging into the backfield every run play.
I don't either. I don't think
this. Does Joe Milano look like a shoot-the-gap kind of guy to you?
No.
Guy's name is Meatball.
Joey Meatball.
No offense, but, you know, meatballs roll slowly.
Let's go to Jack in New York. Hey, Jack.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hey, Jack.
I got a question about Gronk and about Colley. With Gronk, you were just talking about it. Do you think when he comes back, he can still be, like, a dominant, like, run blocker? Because he was awesome last year, and, you know, I think he helped a lot with Ridley's production. And I'm just wondering if he can come back and do that again.
I have no idea. I mean, theoretically, yes. I don't see any reason why he can't return to strength and be jacked again and be a good blocker. That's part of his game. But until we see it, you never know 100% for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that. And with Colley, do you ever think you'll see, like, Colley and Amendola on the field at the same time? And the same thing with Edelman? Or is he going to be, like, a reserve?
All three? No.
Not all
with
three.
Their injury histories, what are the chances they overlap for a game?
They have a three-car pileup.
Seriously, that'd be like...
Yeah, I really don't, Jack, have any idea what to expect from Colley. I mean, I don't know how any of us could at this point. We'll see, you know, how quickly he can get up to speed and if they feel comfortable having him part of the game plan on Sunday.
And what up to speed is as well?
Yeah, I really just don't know. Now, if they were all, you know, hypothetically... If they had all these guys available, I could see him being on the field with Amendola, just like we saw Edelman on the field with Amendola in the first game against Buffalo. Yeah. So, yeah, I could see that happening.
All the white stuff offense?
Oh, God, you're just bad. You're bad. Bad.
What? They're white. What do you want me to tell you?
Just bad.
All right, Jack.
All right.
Jack liked it.
Thanks for the call.
He did a little bit. I think a lot of our listeners smoke weed. We have a lot of people that call in that seem very reserved. Do they?
Yeah.
Has there been studies of that?
Well, think about this. You have a live internet radio show in the middle of the day when most people are supposed to be working.
It's a good point,
you know.
And now since Dr. Sanjay Gupta said it's okay to smoke weed, then...
Well, I don't know if it's okay to, like, have smoke go into your lungs.
Oh, Dr. Sanjay Gupta is supporting marijuana smoking.
Well, it's...
There's no hope!
I think what he's
saying,
he's comparing it to other bad things you could do.
Oh, I don't know. He seems to be behind it.
It can't be good to, like, fire up something and have smoke go down into your lungs. That can't be a good thing.
Fire up something, he says.
You know? I don't care what it is.
So you should eat brownies that have marijuana in them.
Well, that's probably better for you. Except it'll make you fat, but, you know.
You ever done that? You ever had a pot brownie?
What, am I running for president or anything right now?
I did not chew and swallow the brownie.
So you can't answer? So that means yes.
Eddie from Maryland.
I never have. I never smoked marijuana.
Eddie from Maryland reminded me what I was thinking about this morning. I was watching on Patriots.com, Patriots Uncut. Locker
from 2011?
Uncut. No.
I heard we had some issues yesterday.
Yeah, from yesterday. We had some issues. But they had, Gronkowski was talking, Amendola was talking, Ninko was talking. And we know how the Patriots are coached to say, the right thing.
Like the motto, day by day.
Right. But, man, if you watch yesterday's Locker Room Uncut, you can just see these guys, their minds just working overtime to make sure that they didn't slip up. And I'm talking specifically Ninko, Amendola, and Gronk. You know, it was really tough for them yesterday to not, say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Right.
They were really, I don't know what's
they
struggling,
get the, they get
but their
the message.
Mind was working overtime yesterday. You could really see it. And I kind of felt bad for them. It's like, wow, this shouldn't be that hard, standing in front of your locker and answering questions about football. But, man, it was.
Do you think it's bad at all?
Stressful
in that it could have a negative effect on the players?
I think if as long as you're winning, but when things start to turn
a
little,
I just mean week
really
to week. Like, is there too much effort? You said you could see, like, stress on them or that it was hard. Is there any negative effect of that?
I think there is. There can be. There can be. Yeah.
Because, we don't need to get into Welker too much, but he talked about the freedom, in Denver.
Right.
And that whole joke about he still thinks about Bill, isn't that weird when he doesn't think about Denver? That freedom, that the freeness, is there any positive to that? Is that stressful environment?
Sure.
A problem at any time.
And you can say, well, as long as you say the right thing, there's no stress. But you can see that.
Somebody who has said the wrong thing before.
You can see how easy it would have been to trip themselves up yesterday.
Right.
Just watch it yesterday and see if you agree with me, people that are listening.
Well, the interesting one, I think, is Ninkovic, because you'd think he'd had it down by now.
Right.
He talks all the time. He's clearly a very intelligent man, and he's been doing it for 4 years, 3 years that he's been like a leader on this defense and talking a lot. So,
but I think that, and then, now you get into the whole conspiracy type thing. And maybe yesterday the news of, wow, we really are banged up, up and down the line. Maybe that was permeating through the locker room. And that was on guys' minds while they were talking to the media. It's like, wow, we've got a lot of real injuries. And then today you sign Collie and that kind of fuels that type of thinking.
Well, that's really... There are a lot of names on there. I don't know how hurt they are, like Mayo.
That's what's hot.
Arrington
to know.
Plays last week. I was concerned about that, having
Ridley
a groin
didn't
injury.
Practice.
Ridley didn't practice. One of the rookies may not be, ready to go this week. There's guys that aren't on there that I've seen that have injuries. And, major guys, by the way, I'll say.
Right.
And this is the part that where I think Bill, this is what Bill likes, and this is why Bill does it the way he does it. Because we're just so trained now. I look at that injury report every week, and I'm accustomed to seeing twice as many guys in the Patriots as there are listed on the other teams. I know they're all going to be questionable, and I just assume they're all going to play.
Right.
Until they don't, and then you go, well, he was on the injury report all week.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. One of those guys probably won't play.
Right.
But I don't really look at it as like, well I don't think they're banged up. They lost Wilfork.
But this
you know,
be
but
the
there are a lot of guys
are.
On that injury report,
and maybe
they are.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
But and that also falls in with how many times Tom Brady has told us, when we get healthy and get our guys back.
Right.
He's been really beating home the injury thing lately too.
Yeah. Let's go to Marcus in Miami. Hey Marcus.
Hey guys, what's going on?
What's up?
Just wanted to see what you guys thought about this game going forward. I don't think Gronk is going to play. I hope Danny can get back in there. But what do you think this Collie guy can bring to us as far as our offense? Because like you guys have been saying, I've been looking at the injuries and we've got a couple people dinged up. But I think it's one of those.
I really think it's it's just a real insurance thing where I think that they're worried that, boy, Brady may not have a target. We just might need to have warm bodies out there.
But he's not even a target. I mean, coming in, like, if he has to play, that's bad, bad, bad.
Well,
bad,
yeah,
bad.
But
yeah, that's bad.
It's better than nothing.
I'm not sure it is.
But is it not? I mean, so you're saying that Gronk and Amendola aren't playing either.
I'm saying that they may not. And I think the team is preparing for that eventuality.
Then that's bad. That's really bad.
If you take Gronk and Amendola and one
of the rookies out?
Right.
Now you're in. That's dire straits.
And you don't exactly have weapons in, like, you know, in the past, okay, you're out a receiver, you got the tight ends, maybe a tight end is kind of taking a different role. You know, Mulligan's not taking a different role. Sudfeld is A, is hurt, and B, has been bad news every time the ball's come near him so far.
Right. Yep.
You know, I guess Bolden, but he's banged up.
Right.
Like,
he got hurt.
Who isn't hurt? Exactly. Who isn't hurt and who knows how to play?
But
who, raise your hands.
See,
anyway.
But I want to know who is hurt, not who's banged, not banged up. You know,
okay, I see what you did there.
You know, who is not going to play because of an injury? That's what I want to know. And that's, you might be right, Fred. Maybe some of these guys this week, maybe this is going to cause guys like, you know, Mayo that we see on that injury report every week. But you know, he plays every week.
But
maybe one of these guys that we think just assume is going to play ain't going to play this week.
Could go the other way.
Plus, you know,
what if Gronkowski and Amendola both play and you're like, woo, we got Gronkowski, well, we got Amendola, we got a rookie, and we got Edelman? I think we got weapons again.
I think they're both going to play. This week.
But also, the other thing about it is, you know, okay, maybe Dobson and Tompkins plays, but the team knows they're not 100% and they could go down at any time.
Right.
You know,
they don't want to tip their hand. I think that's what it is.
Well, let's be honest. If they play and if Gronk and Amendola play, they're all one play away in my head anyway of not playing.
Of course.
I mean, we've seen it too much from a couple of them and the two young guys with new injuries. So even if they look like they have weapons, you know, they are two plays away from having no weapons. Just not good. You're right. You're talking me into picking the Bengals. I was coming in here ready to pick the Patriots. I felt better about this game than I did 2 weeks ago, and now you're talking me into the Bengals.
All right.
The Bengals are really banged up, too.
I know. And they don't have Tom Brady. Pretty sure Tom Brady's going to play. Still think he has that wrist thing from Detroit. But
I do have those age-old, you know. You know, we have Belichick. They have Marvin Lewis.
Right. Well, that's
we
the bottom
Brady,
line.
We have Brady. They have Andy Dalton. I mean, I'm going Patriots.
81 and 82 or 82 and 83, whatever the hell Marvin Lewis's record is versus Belichick.
Yeah, somebody came out with a stat today when the Bengals rushed the ball more than 25 times.
No, I believe it was when a Bengals rusher.
Oh, okay. When a Bengals rusher has more than 25 carries, they're like 35 and 11 or something like that.
My guess is most teams that's true.
Really? You think so?
I would think. Yeah. If you have one guy that's
doesn't
running
seem like
the ball
that impressive
well,
of a record.
Right?
25 I mean, and 11?
When you're losing, you're throwing to come back. When you're running that
well,
you continue
Vikings,
to run that
they
well.
They always have a guy that runs over 25 times.
Yes, but for most teams, it's kind of like whatever the freaking Rex. Yeah, I feel he looks like Dobson over there. He's got a neck.
Paul's like,
just got a.
What's the matter, Paul? You got a stinger?
I don't know stinger? What I got. Maybe I'm questionable now.
But remember that Rex Ryan stat? I don't really remember what it was, but it was something plus something, and they're always good. Like they win every time. It's like 25 carries.
Remember we have
carries.
More points than the other team.
No, he had
remember
like
Charlie used to rip those.
And it's just they all seem so obvious to me. Right. Like
if that was the way to win, then every team would go out and just run the ball 25 straight times.
Yeah, Marvin Lewis would go. Benny, here we go,
plays.
Benny.
Oh, we're
here we
win,
go, Benny.
Man.
Woohoo, we win.
Right, the 25 carries is a result of something that happened.
The way
in
the game is unfolding,
right,
and the success you're having, and the score and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Tom writes in from Baltimore. I listened to
we're
the show.
Big down there. It seems like we have a lot of Baltimore, Maryland, Inner Harbor people.
Yeah.
That's weird. It's weird where we have a
pockets.
We have like
Virginia,
little pockets of
Baltimore.
Listeners.
Yeah.
I wonder what the...
I don't know.
Is it just because of transplants
well,
go
think,
to certain areas?
I think there's a lot of Belichick fans because that's where he's from down there. And, you know, they are kind of his... Like Parcells, wherever he went, he had his group of people that would go with him, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, I find it weird. Is Baltimore a transplant New England area?
Not necessarily.
Wouldn't seem like it. I don't know what would draw you there.
Yeah. Well, I think there's New Englanders everywhere. But I think a lot of it has to do with Belichick. He's a Maryland guy.
You think there's New Englanders everywhere? Like Montana, I could go find a bunch of New Englanders.
I'm telling you. In
North Dakota.
In bigger areas.
You think that?
I don't know.
Never really
I mean, you
that.
See places like Florida, Arizona, retirees,
right.
And
California.
Yeah, California, even like the Carolinas, the banking entity.
Right,
there's
right.
People that go there.
Like, I could see if you were like.
The hell they go to Baltimore
for? If you were like a San Mateo guy, I could see you just. I like the Patriots because that's where Brady's from. You know,
right.
If I. This guy went to high school or in my area or to my high school. I'm a Brady fan.
Right.
I'm a Patriots fan. But do you do that for a coach?
Sure. Like I said, Parcells had his legions no matter where he went. You know, you came here, they were fans of him, they went to the Jets, they rooted for the Jets because of Bill Parcells.
But everybody liked him.
Al from Everett.
No, that's
but,
a little
but
different.
But that's not because they grew up where Parcells grew up.
But, no, but they're
they
fans
liked
Parcells.
Of Parcells.
And I'm sure
but what came first?
I'm sure there's a lot of fans of Belichick from the Maryland area. because he's from Maryland.
Like, I know Brady has fans all over the world. He's, you know, he's arguably
really
the best quarterback. But I think people that grew up in that area probably all love Brady.
Well, maybe one of our Baltimore, Maryland area listeners can call in and tell us why.
Why they're Patriots fans.
Right. Yeah, but just because one
does
is.
Does it have anything to do with
Maybe they know
we have a
Patriots
lot.
Fans.
We have a lot. Yeah. Maybe we can get a little cross-section. Are you a Patriots fan because you've always been a Patriots fan or because Belichick grew up in that area?
Right.
Or just because of us.
Yeah, maybe we swayed them.
I like the emailers and listeners that say that they're actually fans of other teams, but listen to our show.
Oh, I love that.
I saw one from a Vikings fan the other day who said he's a Vikings fan, but he listens to our show.
I'm guessing he doesn't like me.
Tell him Matt Castle is, we said hello to Matt Castle.
We
good guy.
Love Matt Castle.
I'm happy to see Matt Castle and Brian Hoyer getting a little love. I don't know how long it'll last. I don't know what it means or anything. But
two good guys that deserve good things to happen
to. Maybe Mike Lombardi
him.
Wasn't so dumb after all. About Hoyer.
Yeah, but the more and more I hear about Cleveland, the less and less I hear Mike Lombardi has a say in anything.
Oh, really?
By the way, it's all Joe Banner, evidently.
Anyway, Thomas writes in, I listened to the show yesterday, and based off the discussion, he puts that in quotes, you had about the receivers, I have to agree with Fred, when the Pats get Gronk and Dola back, they will all get on the same page. This offense will be lethal. Paul, what game were you watching Sunday? Tompkins was good, considering he's a rookie. Okay, he dropped some passes. But he had 127 yards and a TD. So far this season, he has three touchdowns and would have had a fourth if he had his hands under the ball in the Jets game.
If he didn't, if he didn't drop one.
How many TDs did Lloyd have last year? He had four for the season. Let's look at yards receiving. Tompkins is averaging 17 yards reception, while Lloyd, who falls after catching the ball, averaged 12 yards. The point I'm making is this kid is playing good. I live in Baltimore, and I know that the Ravens would take the kid in a heartbeat as they have no receiving options other than Torrey Smith. Thanks for letting me rant and enjoy the season because it's going to be special, says Thomas.
A moment to respond.
Sure.
First, the Patriots had many, many options last year ahead of Brandon Lloyd, who I thought sucked last year, by the way. Okay, so to compare Tompkins to Lloyd last year,
right.
If Lloyd was on this team, he'd be doing better than Kenbrell Tompkins would be. But he sucked last year. So that's number one. Number two, yes, Tompkins had 127 yards the other day. I watched the same game you did because you mentioned all his drops. How many yards did Julio Jones have the other day? Last Sunday. Wasn't he like 140?
100, right? It ended in 9 and started with a 1.
He also sucked the other day. Did nothing in the game.
And was soft.
He had one big play that he made over McCourty. That's it. So you can have a really good statistical game but not play very well. Would you agree with that, Fred?
Sure.
Julio Jones was good the other day?
But you can't be terrible and
Do you think Julio Jones was terrible the other day? I do.
No, I don't think he was terrible.
I thought he was terrible.
I thought everybody was pretty much blowing the Patriots defense, and Ryan threw for 421 yards and completed
60%. I thought Aqib Talib absolutely dominated Julio Jones the other day. I thought he won virtually every battle he had with Julio Jones the other day. But Julio Jones, at the end of the day, you look up, he had great numbers.
Sometimes the numbers lie. Even what Michael Smith says on TV, wrong. Numbers sometimes lie.
That's all I'm saying. I mean, you can look at the numbers and compare this guy to that guy and say this guy's better.
But you wouldn't say that Julio Jones is a bad receiver.
No, I think he's an excellent receiver. I think
because he has a track record of doing it over 2+ years.
Yeah, I'm trying to explain to you that Talib played better than him the other night. Talib deserves a lot of praise.
And Julio Jones not as good as I expected him to be based on his track record and the highlights I watch. Right? I mean, I had a greater vision of Julio Jones.
I didn't think he was a guy you could take out of the game like that.
Yeah.
Well, from what I hear in Atlanta, the whispers are that he's not exactly in love with the game of football. He's in love with all the stuff that you get from playing football, but he's not exactly as dedicated about football as you would want.
See, I find that interesting and strange.
Yeah.
Not the image I got of him at Alabama and in terms of
this is what I'm hearing.
He's a tough guy,
whispers.
Banged around.
I don't like those kinds of whispers, to be honest with you. I know nothing about Julio Jones, but that seems all too convenient to me.
About to sign a contract or something?
No, well, based on the whole furor that has come about the last couple of weeks about Belichick and
trading up for him,
that sounds like
interesting.
Yeah, he doesn't like football. Well, this John Baldwin likes football.
But this is coming from Atlanta, so.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who'd you hear it from?
Atlanta.
I can't reveal my sources.
Fred sources in Atlanta.
I can't reveal
the city
my
of
source.
Arthur Blank.
I can't reveal my sources, but okay. All right, take a quick break so we can get some food down our gullets, and we'll be right back.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether the sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Did you listen? I have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. You know, in the last segment, we asked if any of our Baltimore listeners could tell us why or how they became a Patriots fan. And, of course, you ask something on this show, and it gets delivered. Tony's in Baltimore. Hey, Tony, what's going on?
How you doing, guys? Love the show.
Thanks.
I can tell you this. My father, I live in Baltimore. I was born in 82. Colts left in 83, so we didn't have a team. I'm a diehard Orioles fan. But my father was always a bettor. He bet on sports, so I'd sit and watch games with him. Whatever team was winning him money, that's the team we love. So as I got older, I started to understand and know Patriots are winning some games.
Now, I know okay? You're from Baltimore because you said older.
Right. Okay, so always loved the underdog. Love to see Tom Brady come out and kick some butt every Sunday. But when we got the Ravens in 96 from Cleveland, okay, all the stores around here, you know, before we had a name and our colors, they had Cleveland Browns jackets and hats, and they were selling this stuff, right? So all of my friends, all of my buddies, everybody around here, We're Browns fans. They're buying this stuff. They can't wait to get this team. Then we get our colors and our name. We draft Ogden and Lewis, and all of a sudden the Ravens are born here in Baltimore. And I'm thinking to myself, I remember some of these guys I grew up with were Steelers fans, Redskins fans. All of a sudden their heart changed, and now they're Ravens fans. So I never had a team, but I never understood the Baltimore people. How in the hell you just stopped loving a team that you've loved for years now that we got some hand-me-down team from Cleveland. So I learned to love the Patriots by watching them being a 14-point underdog and winning the Super Bowl. And as a better now myself, just like this past Sunday night, they won me some more money. So how could I not love them?
There
on
you
top
go.
Of that, you hear Terrell Suggs, the other night.
Yep.
He's such a disgrace. He makes this city look like some thug, arrogant, criminal idiots.
Well, he and Ray still believe that Roger Goodell's the one that turned off the lights in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then you got Ray Lewis on the sidelines crying.
Do you have proof that he didn't?
The national anthem. I just can't get with that, man. I cannot get with that. I would love to hear a little more from, like, some press conferences. You know, I'm not necessarily, like, inside stuff that would help other teams beat the Patriots, but I'd love to hear a little more personality from, you know, some of the interviews I hear. But I really respect and appreciate how the Patriots keep their stuff real quiet because they know the media will twist anything they say most of the time.
That's
or
true.
You got other teams that can use that stuff against them a game. Do you really need to know if Gronk's playing this week or not? No, jerk. Wait till Sunday and find out. We're
right.
not going to let you game plan for it.
That's
so
right.
People get so upset about it, and they think the Patriots are smug in their attitude. I'd much rather watch a Patriots game and root for these guys than these jerks down here. I mean, you got Ray Lewis. I got so many people I deal with on a regular basis. They worship this guy, man. Worship this guy. You see Ray Lewis jerseys everywhere. Now look at Joe Flacco. Throws 5 picks. He's a $120 million guy. He has his press conference. He's an arrogant jerk. Yeah. There's no humility. There's no nothing.
I can hear you on Ray Lewis and Suggs being arrogant.
Flacco can have an attitude.
Flacco's not an arrogant jerk.
Oh, he has an attitude.
I don't think he's an arrogant jerk. He's known as like average Joe. He's so boring.
Yeah, I don't
Did you hear his press conference yesterday?
Did I hear his press conference yesterday? No, but I have heard many of his press conferences over the entirety of his career, and I've never once thought of him as an arrogant jerk.
Not even once. Because he's never been a $120 million guy who threw 5 picks and then had to face the media 2 days later. See, check the interview out.
Give me an example of what he said.
I can't go word for word.
No. I don't mean you don't need to give me word for word, but why did you think he came across as an arrogant jerk?
Because, here in Baltimore, they show, like, the camera. It's not like I hear it on the radio. I'm looking at this guy standing at the podium.
Right.
He's, like, looking around, like, yeah, you know, I got paid the money. I'm the quarterback. I guess, you know, if they put the loss on me, I guess I can take that. That, to me, is arrogance. That, to me, is...
Okay.
I already won you guys a Super Bowl.
Okay, so what did you think when Brady was yelling at his receivers in the Jets game? Because I didn't think he was an arrogant jerk, but you certainly could take it that way.
Well, anybody could take it anyway. Brady's talking to people. We don't know what he's saying. We don't know who messed up the route. I know I could read his lips one time. He slammed something down and said something about wide open. Okay? Now, I don't know if he's saying, damn it, I missed him and he was wide open, or damn it, you were wide open, you missed the ball. Who knows? Nobody knows but him and the guys on the sidelines. So for everybody to make a fuss about this guy...
Easy.
I mean, come on.
Easy.
What are you supposed to do? You got these young guys. You got to put them in check. This is the NFL. You're trying to win games. This ain't like you miss your route. You miss a ball. You go home. Nothing. No big deal. You want to play in the NFL. You want to play for a contract. You want to play for a winner. You got the best quarterback throwing you the football. Get yourself in check, man.
Yeah.
So what? He screamed at you.
Right.
Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Just get over it. It's so dramatic. Like, come on.
Well, wait a minute. I didn't hear either of those guys complain. I heard the complaints from the media.
One of the most ridiculous rants.
I never heard one of those guys complain. They had no problem getting over it.
Kendrell Tompkins speak at all. I've never heard that guy much at all. But, you know, I watched that game. I actually lost money on that game, so they didn't cover. But I'm watching the game, still rooting for my team to win at least. And then the whole, even up until a few days ago, I'm hearing, maybe even on your guys' show, about how people are just so hard on Brady. Who was on ESPN saying it's deplorable or something like that?
Oh, that was Michael. Was it Michael Irvin or no?
No,
Shannon
no.
Sharp.
Shannon Sharp.
Well, Shannon Sharp on
Tom
CBS.
Jackson.
Tom Jackson
yeah,
on ESPN.
Well, to be expected. Yeah. Yeah.
Shannon Sharp.
All right.
Shannon Sharp played for the Raiders. He's such a.
I'm glad he didn't just take responsibility for losing, because then he would have been
an
arrogant jerk.
I'm with you. All
right. Thank you guys taking the call. Thanks.
I'm just glad that Tom just didn't take the responsibility for losing, because then that would have made him an arrogant jerk. Instead, he just yelled at his receivers.
Flacco's got some thin
skin. I don't like Flacco. He rubs me the wrong way a lot.
I think Flacco has some thin skin. That's not being an arrogant jerk.
No.
I think he's thin skinned. I think he hears the critics too much. But I don't think he's an arrogant jerk.
Okay. So Tony became a fan because of gambling.
Right. Another flag waver for my nationality.
Well, gambling and the upset of the Rams.
Right.
Winning the Super Bowl, being an underdog.
Became a fan then.
Much like the other 85% of the Patriots nation, they became fans in February of 2001.
Oh, wow.
Coincidentally, that's when the Patriots PR.
I don't care. Everyone's.
Oh, sorry, February of 2002. To be more.
I don't care
accurate.
Why you became a Patriots fan or when. You're all welcome on my bandwagon.
Me too, Fred.
Well, Austin Colley fell so far that he wore number 6 in training camp for the Niners.
I have never liked the elitist mentality of anything. Whether it's, you know, I've complained about this before. Blackjack, you can't sit at the table because you're going to ruin it for everybody else. The golf course, you don't know every specific freaking rule. You shouldn't be out there. A fan, you can't root for a team if you haven't rooted for them for 25 years. That's stupid.
Right.
Why aren't we including everybody? You should want more fans to root for your team.
That's right.
You should want more people to play your sport. Like,
it's a big tent.
Should be inclusive.
Matt from Cranston, Rhode Island.
Mr. Acceptance over there.
Yeah. I've been listening for 3 years now and love the banter and opinions. And before I get to my point, I want to congratulate the PFW team for being Patriots employees but staying objective. You may be a bunch of homers, but you shoot straight. I noticed today that in the past few weeks I've enjoyed the show even more. And I think I figured it out. Eric hasn't been around much.
I knew that was coming.
As far as him dropping by to give updates from the locker room, I guess, if one of the hosts has to be there during the show, and B-Lo isn't an option, then Eric's your guy. But I bet Rook could use a regular co-host. You could call it a promotion for Eric without extra money. Win-win, right, Fred? And Paul, maybe slip some tranquilizers in that French vanilla for Andy, and then you might be make some headway. Okay.
My head already weighs a ton.
Right.
Oh, booyah!
I thought he was going to say he's really liked it lately because Andy and Paul have really gotten on board.
Well, I was on board until Fred talked me out of it with these injuries.
Cody,
you had me worried.
Fred had a big thing like a couple of weeks ago where he just like he had this like sad sack look. He's like, you know, NFL, man, it's like everybody gets hurt, man. You know, why can't – I just wish there was a way that, you know, the teams could be at full strength all the time, but you just can't do that in the NFL. Like, he had this, like
– I do. It's
like he came to this reality after, you know, 18 years of covering the Patriots that no NFL team has ever gone into a game healthy.
No, I know. You know what I mean, though. It seems like big stars get hurt more often now, and it could be just a perception that's wrong, but it just seems that way.
Now, are you all for that no matter what?
What do you mean, all for that, no matter what?
You know, whatever the advancements that may come in science, in medicine, if that could legitimately come to fruition, where, you know, I'm not saying robots are playing, but if there are ways to keep guys out on the field.
As long as it's healthy, you know, as long as there's no long-term side effects.
Well, then they shouldn't be playing now.
Right. No, you know what I mean. Whatever it is that they're doing to keep them healthy, like steroids can keep you healthy.
But
long-term, it could make you... You know,
well,
dead.
Legitimately, that's occurring now. It's not necessarily, well, A, it is steroids, but B, it's painkillers, and
right.
C, it's concussions. And
Well, painkillers don't keep you healthy. They just mask the pain.
Right.
It can
but
actually
you get
make it worse.
You get addicted, and
addicted.
Then
that's
you turn it on your dealers in Ohio.
Right.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically speaking. No, but are you all in for it?
No, I'm not all in.
I am.
You are.
Yeah.
Andy's always been.
I want
that.
The biggest, fastest, strongest, most fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't care.
Well, I do care.
So why don't we make them robots?
It's not a draft. I don't want anybody drafted into it. You can't be forced into it. But if you choose to play and you choose to do the things necessary to be out there, then I'm all for it.
Yeah, I don't like that.
There's a thing called, it's a legal term. It's an attractive nuisance. And I'll give you an example.
I think that's me. I'm an attractive nuisance.
My friend's family.
You got the nuisance part, right?
My friend's family owned a summer camp on the Cape. And during, you know, after it was closed, they still had a rowboat that was tied up on the dock. And somebody went and used it, and the kid died. And, you know, even though it was private property and shouldn't have been there, they called that boat an attractive nuisance. Right. I look at the NFL as an attractive nuisance. I mean, you can say that all you want, like, well, they should know what they're getting into. But the lure of the fame and the glory of being an NFL athlete is so much where you could say legally that's an attractive nuisance.
Yeah, I don't buy it. I don't know whether it holds up true in court or not.
Yeah.
To me, you could get away with that with anything. I was a drug dealer. It's an attractive nuisance. I saw that I could be rich and
but you're breaking the law.
I know, but everything.
Breaking the law.
Well, so is trespassing.
Yeah,
you're breaking the law.
You know.
That's trespassing.
That's true.
Well.
Ding, ding, ding.
I guess so, yeah.
So I think you could use that attractive nuisance excuse for a lot of different things.
And
I mean,
do.
I know what you're talking about. Pools.
Yeah.
It's up to the homeowner to make sure the pool is fenced in and the stairs are up and the this, whatever.
Right.
You know, I don't like a lot of that. I like personal responsibility.
No,
I'm a big believer in personal
responsibility. But I'm just saying that this is.
You try to rob my house, I shoot you.
Right.
Who are you, Pedro?
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't like all these things where the criminal or the bad guy gets
has
all the breaks. Yeah.
Right. I hear you.
I don't like the Andy's, lawless NFL because I think that if.
I didn't say lawless.
Well, you're saying that, you know, you're all for the biggest and the strongest. So all the things that you need to do to play at the highest level, that to me eliminates the people that don't want to do those things.
Well, maybe we'll have a clean league and a dirty league.
Yeah, but that's not fair because
why is it not fair?
Because everybody should be able to aspire to
the
best
dirty league.
No, everybody should be able to aspire to play in the best league, and the ones that don't want to do that stuff won't be able to compete.
Yeah, but it already has happened that way.
I don't think there's very many people not doing anything to compete. Let's put it that way.
No, I know that's what I mean. You've already washed out the people that aren't willing to do it because they didn't do it. You're already halfway to what I'm talking about. You haven't necessarily but
halfway.
Maybe.
I don't think you're all the way there.
No. I want to go there. And I think it's fair.
And he just wants to see them all die. He wants to be like James Caan in Rollerball. What? You know, the winner lives.
Wait, I want to see them all die. I want to see them all die like they're dying now when they're putting bullets in there. You know, the Steelers are all dropping off and guys have concussions.
They're all dying.
No, but a lot of them are.
No, they're not.
Or they're, in ditches somewhere and, forgotten by kind of football and society. I'm just all for them making more money.
Don't be contradictory, because you know that you don't necessarily believe that these are guys that wouldn't have already been predisposed to some of the things that
and
have happened.
All it is
well,
microcosm of society, so I'm sure there are UPS drivers that have
that's what I'm saying.
Bad things happen to them after they retire, too.
Well, not necessarily from getting hit in the head or taking 20
years
of steroids.
The problem is drawing the correlation, and that's where we don't know, even with the head injuries. If you played NFL, you grew up playing football. You had probably many concussions all your life.
Right.
So it's an accumulation. So,
and if you played NFL, you took steroids.
Should there be a class action suit against Pop Warner and Paul Perillo's dad? I mean, I don't know.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
Probably should leave names out of it.
My inheritance, let's leave that alone. My kids want to go to school.
But so you're not for it, just to be clear.
I'm not for it all in.
I didn't say like 100% all in.
You
but
did say all
to
in.
To the best of science, medicine.
I'm.
See, now if Fred was you, he'd be like, no, you said all in. You said all in.
What about exoskeletons?
I'm all for safe science and advances.
What about
science?
Exoskeletons? Because they're creating those things where you put your body in the thing and for the military and you're bigger, faster, stronger, and it lifts and all that.
What do you mean? It creates like
it's an exoskeleton, like a.
It's a some armor that you put on.
More like a robotic suit that you're inside of, kind of like Iron Man.
Yeah, but then it's not humans anymore. You know, now it's artificial.
I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know where the line is.
Yeah.
I do have a line.
Oh, okay.
You know, because then
well, I don't want robots. Because if it's just robots, then it becomes Madden.
Yeah. Now
and we just program a score for each one.
My technology is better than your.
Wide receiver 100 is this and that. I don't want that. Yeah. I want the human element, but I also want the injectable element.
Well, then you get into the whole thing, people can, they say someday you'll be able to make sure your kids have blue eyes, make sure they're a certain height, There's something to be said about randomness, That's kind of what makes the world go round,
I agree. I don't know what you can do to fix the problems that you're, the original injury thing, but
it's just frustrating. That's all. I just, you know, and you, I know you make fun of me about rooting for injuries, and sometimes I don't cry if guys get injured, but
But I tease you. I know you're not really rooting for injuries.
It does frustrate me that, you know, he's hurt. And you want to see the matchups,
but it's part of the game.
I know it is, but it's
really, on all levels.
It's you know, become a game of attrition. It really has.
The thing,
it's a game of backups.
And
it's a game of coaching.
Say, what it does is it makes your scouting and your coaching that much more important in this sport than really any other sport. You know, because you have to have a 53-man roster, and you have to prepare for this eventuality because it will happen.
See, so are you concerned about the Patriots then? Because I would argue they're not a very deep football team.
I think every team isn't deep. I don't think there are a lot of deep football teams. That's another issue. But
they're supposed to be.
You know, and that's the other thing. You know, talk about expanding the league. And how the hell are you going to do that? You don't have enough talent to do 32 teams. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy talk.
It really is crazy talk.
I mean, where are these athletes going to come from? You know, that are that good. It's just going to water down.
They won't.
That, you know?
And even if you don't expand, just the talk of expanding the rosters because of adding games or whatever, so we'll add,
right,
you know, five guys to the roster, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That's adding five guys who aren't that good.
If you had a whole league worth of free agents that are sitting on the sideline that really could play, but there's no room for them, okay, but there isn't.
Right.
You know?
We really dug way off the tracks right now.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get back.
That's what we do.
Let's get back.
I know, but we do have a game this
Speaking
week. I think
which,
it's kind of a big AFC East. I mean, AFC
off
game.
Off the track. You see, they're talking about the blood rule in the NFL. The other sports have blood rules, and if you're bleeding, you.
Was that because of J.J. Watt this week?
Yeah.
He had blood all over his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about the don't slap the trainer rule?
Oh, that was weird. That was really
slap the trainer?
Well,
the guy was messing with his broken nose or whatever. I saw that. Okay, yeah, that was. Okay.
And he kind of like smacked. He didn't like.
He was like a little baby.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Like that hurt.
Like, all right, enough.
Oh, I thought he got mad at.
No.
That was cool. That's cool.
It wasn't cool.
I don't know if it's cool.
Was heat of the moment.
I don't know if it's either. You know,
clown question, bro. It wasn't cool.
So I do think it's. Did you remember we used to have blood rules in high school? For all sports. Because I remember I had to play a second half of a game with a different jersey.
I preceded the blood rules.
Oh, well, we had a blood rule.
We didn't have any blood rules.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the more the better.
It was a badge of honor. Right.
I remember the ref.
Yeah, you wiped it on your uniform.
Right.
The ref made me go off the field and get a different jersey and come back on. Because
you played right at the heart of the
94, 90, in there. Is that like the heart
of the AIDS era?
I love it. At Tufts, though, the equipment manager for Tufts would always complain about Andy because he'd stretch out the neck hole of the shirt.
It's funny because his head is fat.
You've never stretched yours out because you never button them close enough.
He just can't let anyone, no. Just, you know, he's got to.
I just almost swore.
Right.
In fact, I did actually under my breath.
Let's get back to the emails. John is in from Greece via Ipswich, Mass.
Wow.
That's where they have the clams, right?
It's up my neck of the woods.
That's a clam place?
Woodman's.
Fried clams? There's a couple of them.
Woodman's might be in Essex.
Ipswich is,
there's a lot.
Woodman's, the clam box.
The clam box might be in Ipswich. Woodman's, I believe, is in Essex, but they're right next to
each other. Yeah, you're right. I love Woodman's.
I'm not surprised.
Why? Because I'm a fat guy.
No, because it's Woodman's. You don't understand how.
Oh, no, that was actually.
Oh, you don't understand how his mind works.
You were right, Fred. That was actually a fat joke, not a.
No, because Andy wouldn't love Woodman's because he doesn't like seafood. I mean,
right.
You eat that stuff all
I've
the time.
I've actually wanted to
you'd
go
love,
there. And
you'd
stop.
Love those places.
Every time we're going somewhere, I'm like.
I mean, I'm sure they know. I'm sure there's places in the south.
Yeah, no, I'm sure I'd be like, oh yeah, they're fine. They're the same.
I certainly wouldn't drive from where you live to there just to get that.
No, but I've like thought about when we're heading up somewhere to Maine or New Hampshire.
Yeah, it's a good trip.
Yep. Isn't one of them actually shaped like a clam box or something, too, or something?
Well, the clam box is like a little kind of – it's very small.
Yeah, and one of them was in the Adam Sandler movie.
And they're on the mud flats or something up there?
Woodman's. Yeah, yeah.
I like good fried clams.
Yeah, I go to Woodman's maybe 2-3 times a year.
How? Why?
He just said, love it.
What?
You drive up there just for that? Like
yeah.
You go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not a
It's a nice drive.
You see Eric there?
You eat so much food that the Sam Adams doesn't affect you on the ride home.
Do you see Eric there when you go?
No.
You get a little seafood with Eric?
Yeah. One of these days we're going to like fool him and tell him, oh, you know, this is really good and it's actually seafood.
Well, he ate freaking snails, remember, on his vacation.
Did he? Escargot?
Yeah.
Look at that escargot.
All right, so now, John, from Greece via Ipswich, Mass., do you find it funny to make fun of Patriots players? Don't you all think we hear enough negative stuff about Patriots from other news sources? Do you really think people turn on radio to hear negative stuff and made-up facts?
Is he yelling at us or Eric?
Julius Jones, 13 targets, 6 receptions, 109 yards, and 0 TDs. Tompkins, instead of criticizing him, you might say
Julius
he appears
Jones.
To be getting better, bobbles included.
Oh.
But of course not. You are not homers. You are the opposite. Fred Smirlis any day. Of course, it helps that he actually knows the reality of football. But as most media people, all you care about are ratings and positive news doesn't sell. You will spend 5 minutes talking about how the Patriots got a call and nothing about a missed penalty against the other team. And don't give me one or two examples. By the way, cut the BS about the Patriots having not won a Super Bowl in so long. They were there twice since then, an unbelievable catch and a missed catch, which was not nearly as difficult is the difference. Hard as it may seem, people actually want to hear positive stuff about the team they love. There you go.
I think you have us confused with the Felger and Maz show. I don't think you hear an awful lot about they haven't won a Super Bowl since 2004 on this show. I think it's the most ridiculous.
In fact,
I think it's the most ridiculous criticism the Patriots get ever.
You're the biggest and most articulate argument against
period.
That.
You can end it right there.
Yeah.
Well, I think that particular biggest. No, in all seriousness, that particular criticism of the Patriots to me, I think is the silliest thing I've ever heard.
Right.
The fact that they haven't won a Super Bowl since 2004. As if they, as I said yesterday, I know they fell off the football map in the last, 10 years. They haven't done anything. You know, they've been to two other Super Bowls, been to two other conference championships that they didn't win. Yeah, they suck.
Right.
You know, because they haven't won the Super Bowl since 2004.
Right.
I think he has us confused with Felger and Maz.
And I just get so annoyed. Like, you guys mock me when I go over the top liking somebody. Whether it's Gronk,
No, but that's okay. When you do
right,
that, that's like, okay.
You damn. Why can't we be honest? There are certain guys that I think are great that, Shane Vereen. I've had zero reason to blow him for three straight years, basically.
But I have.
People never notice that. They fixate on, I don't think Kenbrell Tompkins has played as well as his numbers would suggest through the first four games of his NFL career.
I have not been overly impressed with the rookie receivers. Through four games, those three guys have done very little.
I didn't hear this guy calling to complain that I was, Daniel Fells, best third tight end. The guy can't get a job. I thought he was the best tight end on the practice field this summer and the best third tight end in football. And you know what he is? He's not the best third tight end in football because he doesn't work in football. He could not qualify as a league source right now. He doesn't have a job. But like, I feel like we're pretty balanced where we go ridiculously positive with all of us. You have your guys.
We all have our guys that we love.
Brandon Merriweather, you thought was great, even though he sucked until he left, and then you admitted he sucked. James Sanders, I thought was great until he left, and I had to admit that he wasn't as good as I thought he was, and he wasn't worth $3 million a year. But we also have guys that we don't think are good. And shouldn't we be honest and say, I don't think that guy's very good?
Hey, but did you ever hear the way we've talked about Aqib Talib in the first month of the season? Like, you'd think that he is Deion Sanders, the way we've talked about
him. I actually think we've gone both ways on Talib. Last year, we didn't think he was as good as the hype. When Andrew Luck was hitting him in the chest with a pass for an interception that he returned for a touchdown. This year, we are so over the top because we haven't seen this type of player in a decade that we have him, as Paul says, listed as basically, you had him listed all time behind Deion Sanders and Darrell Revis.
In that group of corners, yeah.
He's been so good this year. That it's now making me look back at last year and say the reason that he was unimpressive last year had to be the hip. It had to be health. I mean, that's how good I think he's played this year. I think last year was a fluke.
Well,
that was injury
also
related.
Also, not having a full off season.
And working harder, potentially.
Yeah.
The whole theory we talked about yesterday, he worked harder, he was an offseason award winner, all of that.
Yeah.
A guy like Rob Ninkovich and Chandler Jones, we've been talking about, we've been talking about Chandler Jones like he's going to be J.J. Watt this year. No one's making fun of us. That hasn't happened so far. No one's making fun of us for that.
I wanted Rob Ninkovich in the Pro Bowl. I pumped the brakes a little, but, he's not a Pro Bowler, but, we like him, and he's a good player, and we promote him.
And I make fun of
the Talib thing, too. Doesn't he fly in the face of coaching here kills corners? Like, he's gotten better this year with a year under his belt, being coached by this secondary, right?
Right,
and all these guys that left and whispers.
So maybe we'll wait
when they coach him. Blah, 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 they're
we'll
not
wait
that
after the 10th game because that'll be 16 games, and then maybe he'll fall off the map.
Or how about they have a corner who's
that's
good.
Another one I always thought was silly. That all the cornerbacks around here they regress.
They coach the talent.
They coach the talent out of them. Talk about an unbelievable crutch from players that the media just bought. And by the way, in terms of officials, I rip them all. I don't just rip the ones for or against the Patriots. I rip every call. I think the officials suck in every game.
And one last, by the way, it's Julio, not Julius.
Not Julius. That's a running back.
And I don't know if he made that mistake or you did.
Jones. Okay. Julius Jones is a running back. No, that's why I had no idea who they were talking about.
Eric writes in, and it's an Eric with a K, but not our Eric with a K. He says, Flacco is a jerk. The coworker of mine has a daughter that worked PR relations for a charity that the Ravens do special events for. A sick young girl drew Joe Flacco a picture after she left. Flacco balled it up and threw it in the trash laughing. Wow. I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't buy that at all.
But I do. I think
it could be. I'll buy it.
Well, I met him, and I didn't think he was a douche.
Yeah, but he looks like a douche.
Okay. That makes sense. Eli Manning sucks, too.
I don't think he's a douche. I just think
he sucks. No, he sucks. Yeah.
Let's see. Mike from Connecticut, loving the show, especially your talk on injuries in the NFL and fan enjoyment. Here's my take. The NFL is certainly dangerous, and there's definitely an element of audiences deriving enjoyment from the crushing blows, physically and mentally, that big men inflict on each other. However, is this really that much worse than us depending on lumberjacks and electrical linesmen for virtually every modern amenity we have? They're both top five in the most dangerous professions. Just seems odd we're fixating on NFL players having brain damage when many, many, many more of lumberjacks and linesmen are getting maimed and killed every year.
Well, there's a lot of those. Soldiers, law enforcement, cops, miners,
yeah.
Lobstermen.
They all choose to go into the profession.
Right, and they choose to take the risk and choose to take the reward. I mean, some of those king crabsmen that die out in Alaska, but they make like hundreds of thousands of dollars just boom, cash, because they come in with a big haul. So everybody knows what they're doing. And Vince said that. I mean, Vince, in his little tweet attachment thing the other day, acknowledged the injury risk.
Yeah, I know what I signed up for, something like
right.
that.
Kevin
Which, by
says,
the way, a little over the top. If you
yeah, he only tore his Achilles. Right. I did the same thing, Vince. I was playing rec league
like
basketball.
You're paralyzed for life, and we need to start a foundation.
That's the one that you say, you know, I understand the risk, and I knew what I was signing up for.
Keith has a little comfort in knowing that he's not the only one. And what I'm talking about is giant heads. He says, who among you has the giant head? I am possessed of an almost preternaturally large cranium. I'm looking to start a support group of sorts. I think it's time for us big heads to put our average size feet down in a line. Hats don't fit us. Hairstylists tax on a surcharge. And there are constant and varied acts of discrimination
yep.
at the hands of all of you subcranial elitists
yep.
who constantly parade your average heads for all to see.
Yep.
I recently bought an autographed Wilford game-worn helmet, and it didn't fit. I'm having difficulty.
A 375-pounder helmet.
I'm having difficulty dealing with that level of rejection.
He's got a small helmet, though.
Reach out, be strong, my giant dome comrade in arms. Be comforted in the knowledge that you are not alone.
It's true, Keith.
It's true. And it isn't to some degree, you know, and I tell this all the time, when I went white rider rafting and there were like five boats, and all five boats, everybody had the same exact helmet on except me because the only one that fit me was like an off one, a white one. Everybody else,
spaghetti pot on
and head. Everybody made fun of me and called me corky and pointed and laughed all throughout the whitewater rafting trip.
They had to put a spaghetti pot on his head.
Kevin's cracking
the whole one size fits all, yeah. BS, they don't. I think it's not right.
Yeah.
Put the big heads in with the Italians, Paul.
You can still make... Well, that, you don't get a lot of criticism. Come on.
How many times do people point at the back of my hat with the Velcro and laugh?
It's on by like one little hook.
I mean, it is.
Yeah, but in those people's defense, it's usually because I point it out to everybody.
Right. See, but it's okay. It's, you know, if I did that to you about your belt size...
You do all the time.
We have another Eric.
What's under more stress, my Velcro hat or your belt?
Nothing has more stress than your Velcro.
And I think it's getting worse, because I know usually it's about like a fingernail.
Well, I'm sure that those two pieces that still are there are probably worn out by now.
No, but
you need a new visor.
Is your head like your nose? It never stops growing?
Fred?
Really?
Sounds like
your nose never stops growing. I know that's a fact.
Really?
Yeah. But is your head stops
so
growing?
How come by the time we're like 60 years old, we don't have...
Because it's like one billionth of a... But you've never noticed that a lot of old men have really big noses?
Well, yeah, but some of them have like reasons for that. Like,
yeah, it never stopped growing and they're 80 years old.
I actually never noticed that.
Oh, yeah.
The older
men tend
to have big noses.
Yeah, big noses. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Okay.
And the bigger the man, the bigger the nose. I don't even know what that means.
I know what you're thinking.
No, I'm really not. It seemed obvious because it would be stupid to see a big man with a little teeny nose on his face.
Let's see. Steve from England writes in.
What a show.
No, and he was joking about the haircut thing, right?
Who?
Because I've never had somebody charge me more for a haircut. Cause my head was...
I thought the whole thing was kind of a joke.
Yeah, well,
oh, no,
I thought
well,
it was.
I'm joking, but it's true.
What?
I mean, I literally have to go to, like, Lids and try on every hat down the, before you find one that's even close
yeah,
to
but I
fit.
Do, too. I can't find...
Like these hats they give us for camp? I just give them to somebody else. There's no
the
shot
one
in
size
the hell they're
fit. Fits all is not just a misnomer for you. I can't just pick up any random hat. And
your
have
head's
it.
A lot smaller than mine.
Though. No. They're not too big. They're not too small for me like they are for you, but
like
a lot of them
BCN
are too big
hats
for me.
That, it's like a yarmulke on me, that winter hat that barely gets over the top of my head. Remember that old Patriots Rock Radio Network? It was a very nice hat. It doesn't even get down to my ears.
But I have a lot of baseball hats that I can't wear because they don't fit me right.
And then
not because they're too small like they would be for you, but one size fits all. Does that make any sense in life? One size fits all.
No.
There's all different shapes and sizes of people.
Well, it's kind
of
disrespectful.
Of course they don't fit all.
Like, does that mean you're not all? You're not part of the norm
right.
when it doesn't fit?
Right.
That's offensive to me.
Right. We should make a documentary.
Italians.
A real sad documentary
Irish,
about Paul,
in the
big
heads.
Head.
We could have Bledsoe in it. He's got a big cranium.
He does have a big head.
He's got a big head. Let's see. Steve from England. Good afternoon, men of PFW. I'm a longtime listener, first-time emailer. I have a question that me and my dad have debated for years, but firstly, wanted to tell you all that your show is the best part of being a Patriots fan. There really is no other show like it, just in football, but in all other sports I follow.
Forward that to the front office.
And we'll definitely and be downloading your iPad app, Patriots Football
Daily.
Okay, did you know that we were number 11 on the top
number
grossing,
11?
Number
top grossing iPad sports apps.
Is that true?
Out of what?
Well,
15?
Just yesterday. It varies.
No, but I don't care.
At that time
there's a lot of crap out there.
Yeah.
Now, did you do your little screen
11.
Capture thing and
yeah.
save that for the records?
I sure did.
You show that to Jonathan?
I sure did.
Are we anything affected by the new iOS?
No,
for us?
We're good.
New
updates. We've done our updates.
No yeah. glitches. Or...
Troubleshooting.
There was a glitch on the iPhone app, and by the way, if you had the problem where you couldn't turn off the audio without actually stopping the app, the update came out yesterday. So I noticed, like, it came out 7 o'clock, and by 10 o'clock, 60,000 people had downloaded the update.
Cool.
Nice.
But that fixes that problem.
That doesn't even count me.
That was an iOS 7 problem.
I noticed something when I updated my iPad
yeah.
that could be a potential lawsuit, in my opinion. When I updated it last night, and then I go to my browser, Yahoo used to be like my homepage and one of my favorites. The only favorite that was not transferred to the new iOS.
Really? That's
a and that seems like that's a lawsuit. That's
yeah.
That's monopolizing the marketplace, trying to make sure I don't go to Yahoo, a competitor.
That's very interesting.
I mean, I don't care for it.
Okay.
Apple people. Big
okay,
brother.
Here's my question. It's the opening day of the 2008 season, and Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has just gone down with his knee injury, and in
Same
comes,
ones.
As we know, Matt Castle. But instead of the Patriots going 11-5 and missing the playoffs, they go 14-2 and win the Super Bowl with Castle as MVP. Crazy, I know, but humor me. What happens next? Do the Patriots release Brady as they have a Super Bowl champion in Castle and are unsure if Brady's ever going to be the same again? Or does Bill put Tom Terrific back in and still release Castle? Keep up the great work, and please tell Eric to lighten up because sometimes he does know what he's talking about.
No, he does.
I think they still get rid of Castle, but they get a first-round pick for him this
right.
time.
Right, they still trade somebody. They don't release anybody.
Right.
No, but he you know what he meant. He meant do you trade Brady instead of Castle?
No. Paul would, apparently, based on his facial expression. I know that doesn't translate over radio.
It's a ridiculous hypothetical, obviously, but... I think you guys are dismissing what Castle did in this hypothetical.
You guys are really overlooking a great year.
but I'm being serious. I mean, to do what the emailer is suggesting that he did,
what's the age
puts
difference?
Him on Brady's level.
Yeah, but what's the age difference?
I don't know. I don't 4 or 5 years probably.
Yeah, I don't really know the answer myself.
But I mean, it's really hard to give it any thought, knowing what you know that Castle did when he left. And, you know, that Brady has continued to be Brady since he returned. But if he was Brady, then wouldn't you rather have a younger Brady?
Yeah. But you're going to base that on one season as opposed to a career.
No, I know, but that's the kind of, that's what makes it a topic. That's what makes it a debate.
No, I know. That's why
Trust
I would
me.
Still.
It's not a no-brainer.
That happened the way
I mean, you're basically saying that he threw for like 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns, and then won the MVP in the Super Bowl.
Believe me, there'd be a contingent of people saying, keep Castle.
Fred, there were people then that were saying, should they be thinking about this?
Right.
Now, this is exponentially higher.
Right.
Now, he's done what Brady did. He's done it.
If you're so comfortable, would you just make it open bidding? We are trading a quarterback.
I think you
have at it. And if you offer me four first-round picks for this guy and
I pick the guy I want. I have to make a decision.
I'd go Brady.
I want who I want.
I'd go Brady.
Yeah, it's impossible not to pick Brady because you can't not get your mind around the fact that I have the same guy.
No.
Because that it's not the same guy.
But the biggest thing I would fear is I'm basing it on one season for Castle, where I have a track record of Brady.
And there were certain writers that criticized the Patriots for extending Brady after 2001. They said it's too soon.
Yeah, but they didn't do something ridiculous.
No, but people said it's just 1 year.
I think if Castle was that good,
they didn't have an option though at the time.
Right, that's what I mean. This is you're picking an either or. Right. You're closing some door and keeping one door.
But
open.
I know that I have a guy that can do it, and I would take the younger guy. I would.
Interesting.
But
the 1 year wonder, Paul would call him. You know, the guy who never started in college, so he's really a wonder.
See, but this is what I'm saying. Like, you can't get past, I'm not making fun of you.
No, but everything I'm saying happened beforehand.
But it's impossible to logically doing it, but you're not putting Castle in the spot that the emailer is putting him.
I like Castle.
But you're not really getting your mind around it.
I would.
You're not. You're not embracing it.
It's one great year. And Brady is coming off a great year the last time I saw him.
So
in 07.
So now put yourself in 08. Okay. I have a guy who came in and I know can be Brady at his best because he just did it. And on the other side, I have a guy who I don't know is ever going to be the same.
Oh, he's coming up. Yeah, let's not overdramatize it.
You didn't know if he was going to come back and be the same guy.
I knew.
And some people say he hasn't.
I think you got to seriously consider it. I think you got to do that.
It's been in his head. He sees the rush. He sees
ghosts.
Rushers.
Jason Achiba writes in, why the F isn't anyone talking about this being the perfect test for the age-old argument between Fred and Paul about the worth of Big Vince? See what I did there, Andy? Fred has argued forcefully.
Wait, I don't see what you did there.
I don't either.
it's all Chinese to me. I mean, Japanese to me.
Fred has argued forcefully a couple of times that Vince is worth what he's paid, even in the modern pass-happy league.
Yeah, but now he's out. Don't you get it? Fred's mind has changed
while
now.
Paul seems
what did he have, five tackles?
While Paul seems to think there are truly only four positions that matter, edge rusher, cornerback, outside deep threat receiver, and quarterback. This is awesome. Now all of us PFW
outside
fans...
Outside deep threat, not one of them, by the way.
Now all of us PFW fans will get to sit and watch one or the other theory of football get proved correct. The only thing in the balance is the Patriots' season, so what could go wrong? Of course, they'll probably go 11-5, and Fred will just argue that they'd be undefeated if they had Vince.
Correct.
And P.S., Andy, the argument that the league sucks is played out, dude. You've said it every effing year since I started
listening
in 2005, including
07. It's true.
This is football.
Right, and it sucks. The modern game of football is a parody, watered-down disgrace.
As opposed to, you know, back when you thought it was good, where there were five teams that were head and shoulders above everybody else, and everybody else sucked.
Why are you talking like Andy?
When was that?
You know, when the Steelers and the 49ers were great.
I've been
consistent. You think everybody else sucked then?
Yeah, there was... There was the elite, and then everybody else.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
Absolutely. You didn't have a shot.
By the way, the one flaw
who
in my
didn't
theory,
have a shot?
All the other teams.
You know,
like
there's
who?
As many undefeated teams as ever this year. I saw that on Twitter. So if it's not
at
wrong,
this point,
what
yeah.
does that
yeah.
mean?
There's as many undefeated.
There's the most
teams
undefeated teams this late in the year.
Tied for the most.
I think that's interesting.
I do too. It kind of flies in the face of my theory. Right? You have measuring stick teams. You have these
five because you don't even think that the undefeated teams are good. You have teams that have already lost that you think are better than the undefeated teams.
Oh, God, yeah.
So that's interesting.
I mean, you look at the Chiefs are a team I would pick as an example. I mean, do you feel like they're a great team?
No.
I don't.
Okay, I don't
I
either.
Don't either. I like the way you said it.
But to me, it just gets down to Alex Smith. It's a lack of respect I have for Alex Smith.
Well, that's the least of my problems with
that. If you kicked into the end zone and boom, you're on the 20 and I need you to go 80 yards in the next 232 and drive your team to a touchdown, I don't think he can do it. And that's just, I can't get that out of my head. Are we doing picks today?
Yeah, I think
so. It's only 1:35.
Why is he here so early then?
Quick call, Dave in Connecticut on
the East
Ticket Hotline. Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Great show today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
And I just wanted to, that tip with the fried clams, that really does work. So put that Sammy Adams in your system.
That's right.
You live in Connecticut all the time.
That's right.
Evening, awesome fun. No, I had fried clams.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
But
what happened was...
John Rooker's
But let me just start off with this. Just before you guys are really killing it today, and you were reading that email about the guy saying, you know, that you are so negative and blah, blah, blah.
Do you need some fried clams?
I don't know what those guys listening to. You guys are honest. And that's what, you know, I appreciate, especially in Connecticut. We have the fan down here. And, you know, I'll listen to that every once in a while. And those guys are just so bland. And you guys, I mean, I'm just sitting here laughing listening to you guys today. This is awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to
That's
talk
nice
about the Cincinnati
Drunken
game
helps.
Coming up. You know, I think it's definitely a winnable game for it. You know, we do have some concerns. You know, obviously, defensively, without Vince in there, I think, you know, we haven't called anybody up yet. I thought maybe Forston would come up or something. But I really think we're going to need a big game from Brandon Spikes. I mean, you know, he is that monster run stopper, you know, where he just blows up the running back.
And we do know that Cincinnati, like, they want to run the ball.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, they have the law firm there, and I think he might have a little chip on his shoulder, too. Looking
worried about him.
Something.
Worried about the other guy more.
The other guy, too, yeah. I think that one of the best ways to help us on defense would be, you know, having a nice running game, you know, passing game, just like, you know, having that balance.
Yep.
We had it against the Falcons. I think we had 31 plays on offense for a pass and 31 for the run.
That game, you know, to me, the most significant thing in that first half was just the dominance by the Patriots offensive line.
This is a better
front. Let's face it.
Oh, absolutely.
And
Lackens.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a monster. I think, you know, what I'm hearing, Ridley's a little banged up. I mean, I hope Bolden's good to go. You know, and I just think we need to basically do what teams have been trying to do to us, you know, to keep Brady off the field offensive.
Yeah.
I think if we can, you know, have that combination of run and pass where we, you know, have sustained drives of you know, 10, 11 plays, you know, 6-7 minute drives where it's going to, you know, help our defense.
Yeah.
And it's going to keep their offense, you know, off the field and limit their, you know, chances to, you know, I hate to say, expose the middle of our defense at this point.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you, Dave.
I, you know, I definitely think it's definitely a winnable game. You know, I don't think Cincinnati is, you know, peaking right now. And, you know,
no.
You guys are talking about the 4-0 teams. It's kind of funny. You know, people are like, well, New England's not getting the respect. New England's not getting the respect. Well, I as a Patriots fan, I have to say, we haven't even come close to playing our best ball yet.
No, we're still fielding, which is
a heck of an accomplishment if you really think about it.
Our varsity's yet to hit the field, so.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the young receivers are getting better, and hopefully will continue to, but I'm sure there's going to be a game or two in there where, you know, they put up a dog. Because it's still a learning process for these guys.
Oh, they put some dogs up, but they still want them. So that's the good news here. All right, Dave, we got to get to our picks, but thanks for calling in. And all the other callers that have been hanging out, we have to.
No, go to them quick.
You got to be kidding me.
We have to get to our picks.
That is inappropriate. And wrong.
He's my favorite caller in the show, and you blow him off.
We have to get to our picks.
Al and Valdosta.
Oh.
I can't believe you did that.
I can't believe it either.
I'm really upset about this.
Worst part was he was on hold for like 20 minutes. His phone
dropped. That's just wrong.
And it's all because, you know why? The only reason why he did it? Because he finally had a good week.
See, now, this is, again, Paul's conspiracy theory. He has these little art things in his mind that he would do, so he projects it on everybody
else. That I would
else.
Do. I don't have to worry about waiting until I have a good week. I always have good weeks.
It's 140. What do we got?
Last week, Freddie. That's why, Al, I apologize for Fred. He went 10-5 last week. So
power's gone to his head.
That's
clearly,
actually not
clearly
good.
Feeling his
Straight
old.
Straight up, that's not good.
No, it's pretty good. 9-6 for Andy and I. 7-8 for Eric. Tough week, Eric. With the spread, Fred continues to set the pace, 10-4-1. Andy and I were 9-5-1, and Eric was 6-8-1.
Ah.
So the season standings are as follows. I remain in the lead, 41-22.
You keep the book.
Andy and Fred, 40-23. Eric, 38-25. With the spread, Fred remains on top.
Does he keep the spread? Six games behind you and Eric on the paper.
Does he keep it? Does Fred keep it? Does Fred keep the book too? He's leading in the spread. Does Fred keep it? Does he keep that?
No, boss just knows gambling.
Not like Tony.
Next day, I'm the ambling gay.
The ambling gay?
Not like Tony in Baltimore.
I'm running. You're not going to catch me.
Fred, 33-26-4. By the way, we had our tie for the fourth straight week with the spread, a push. Second place is Andy, 31-28-4. Eric and I tied for third, 30-29-4.
Okay.
So all of us over 500 with the spread.
That's good.
Through the first month of the season, which is always the toughest.
At the Herald and the Globe, and
always the toughest month to
500.
Pick. And we were all over 500 for the first month of the season. That's not bad.
You need help. You listen to this show.
No.
1-800-KIRSCH.
Right.
I don't want to feel responsible when somebody gets in trouble.
All right. Let's get going here tonight. Huge game on the NFL Network. Buffalo at.
He's
Cleveland.
The only one that thinks that's like ridiculous.
No, that's
funny.
Ambling gay is funny.
It's pig Latin.
I guess. You know.
I know. It's funny.
I know. In your brain, there's all these
images
all
the
going
stuff.
On. There's a lot of stuff going on in that cavern of a head.
Right there is not okay.
It is okay.
You two girls done.
I'm all in with
what
making
do you got?
Fun of you. All in. All
Cleveland
in.
By four.
Over who?
Buffalo.
Where?
Cleveland.
Cleveland.
I'm rooting for Brian Hoyer for his little run to continue. We've said it a million times. Very nice man. I'm going to take the Bills. I think the Bills have more talent on that team. And two unknown quarterbacks, I'm going to take the highly rated one.
Yeah, at three in a row for Cleveland.
Cleveland.
That might be a little too much to ask.
The dog pound going to be rocking.
It might be, but I'm with Andy. I'll take the Bills on the road.
I'm a little surprised by these picks. I am going to take Cleveland because, not because, I should say, of Hoyer as much as I am believing in that defense. I think it's a pretty good defense.
Just quick aside, is the guy that went from the Kruger, is he having a good year?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm with Paul.
Paul Kruger?
I like Manuel, but I don't think he's ready to win this game against a good defense on the road. So I'm going to go with Cleveland. But
Cleveland.
You know, the 2000 Ravens are in Cleveland now. Jesus.
They're pretty good. New Orleans at Chicago, Sunday at 1.
Pick 'em.
Ooh,
that's
a good game.
Okay, well, if you ask me to pick one, I'm going to pick the guy who doesn't throw stupid interceptions and the offense who I think is better. I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints.
This is a really tough game.
A lot of tough games this week. There are.
I will.
Fred laying the foundation for why he doesn't have a good week.
This
next
is a.
Week.
I was just talking about this with Matty No Socks about the Saints and how they're a different team when they're on the road and outside. And I think there might be a little something to that. It's early in the season though for the weather to be too much of a factor. But I'm going to go with the home team in this one, the Bears.
Okay.
It's coming off a loss to a division rival.
Yeah, I will take Chicago as well. I am not a believer in that Saints defense at all. I think
you don't like Rob Ryan?
No, not really. Yeah. Not particularly. I'll take the Bears to protect the football a little bit better.
Here's where we part company, Paul. I'm going to take the Saints. I think that their offense has got it going. You are correct. We're going to skip over New England at Cincinnati, and we're going to go to Detroit at Green Bay Sunday at 1.
Pack by 7.
I am going to take the Packers to win. And I am going to take the points. I think the Lions are going to keep this relatively close.
I'll take the Packers to win at home as well. This is going to be the week that the Lions screw you, though.
Right.
And they'll win the game.
Of course. Yeah.
But, I have a feeling it'll be close, too. I'll take the points.
I will take Green Bay to win and cover. Detroit has a really, really hard time in Green Bay. And I also think that Green Bay has to have this one. They can't afford to fall too far behind the Lions, who, by the way, in first place in that division.
Paul, you and I are in lockstep with this game. Green Bay all the way. Sunday at 1, Seattle at Indianapolis.
Indy by 2.5.
Indy by 2.5. Wow.
A tough one.
Colts getting a lot of respect.
Well,
a lot
you
of
also
respect.
Got a little something
it's,
for the
it's
Seahawks
It's more disrespect
road.
For the Seahawks away from Seattle.
Seattle
where they're 5-5
the
under Russell Wilson.
I am going to take the Seahawks in this game, even though I have the fears of the road thing. I don't think the Colts are a great football team right now, and I think Seattle's better on both sides of the ball, so I can't just assume because they're on the road they're going to lay an egg. I won't assume the egg.
Well, they really haven't laid. I mean, they've won their games.
Well, they tried to lay an egg last week until they unlaid it.
They've actually laid two eggs. They just, like the Patriots, they won them.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be a lot to ask for them to do it three times in the start of the season. So I'll take the Colts at home.
I will take Seattle, going with Andy's theory. I just think they're a better football team, even though they're on the road. I'll go with the upset.
Eric, you are wrong. Paul and Andy, Seattle, you are right.
Seattle, you are right.
Baltimore.
Hello. Dubuque, Iowa. Hello.
Baltimore at Miami. Baltimore at Miami.
Miami by three.
Oof. Yeah, these are
tough. Miami by three?
Buffalo. These are tough. I mean, Baltimore, obviously, having a lot of issues.
Who are these teams?
Who are these teams? And we know I'm not really buying into our time Dolphins. No. But I think right now these teams are sort of on an equal playing field. And Paul Perillo once told me that if I think teams are on equal playing field, pick the team that's on its home playing field. So I'm going to take the Miami Dolphins.
He told you that more than once.
Cameron Wake, healthy?
As far as I know.
Okay.
Why?
I find it hard to believe that Joe Flacco is going to throw five picks again this week. That's really why they lost the last game. I think they go on the road and they win. They beat a... They're a better team than Miami. I think Miami's kind of a fraudulent team. And I'm going to give it to the Super Bowl champions to win on the road.
Yeah, I like Baltimore as well. Miami coming off a road Monday nighter, short week, tough spot.
And it makes sense, you know, with the sacks that Miami's been giving up. Baltimore takes advantage of that. But I could see this game going either way, but I'm going to go with the team I'd prefer to lose, and so I'll go with Baltimore.
The team you really have to listen to him like closely to figure out who he's picking.
He said the team I prefer to lose, and I still didn't know which one he would. I know he hates Baltimore too.
I do,
but the Dolphins are in the division, and they're relatively close.
But I never know.
Sunday at 1, Philadelphia at the Giants. Can the Giants get off the schneid?
Giants by 2.
I'll take the Giants to win. Philadelphia has a bad defense, and I don't think Eli will either get sacked 7 times or throw 8 billion picks in this game. The mediocre Manning brother will get it done.
They screwed us last week, Paul, just like we predicted.
They screw me every week.
But I'm going to go.
I told you Baltimore was going to screw me last week,
you
too.
You did. I was thinking of you the whole time. I'll fall for it again. Giants at home. I don't see how Chip Kelly's teams are going to be able to keep up in this NFC East race, but the Giants can't be losing all these games.
Yeah, if the Giant, if it gets to 6, I'm going to have to pull the plug on picking the Giants anymore, but I agree with Andy. I just look at the two teams, and I think the Giants have a far more talented roster than the Eagles do. I think that offense will give the Giants defense some trouble, because I don't think the Giants are very good defensively, but at home, I think they find a way to get off the schneid.
Yeah, I agree. I got to go with the Giants. They screwed me as well last week, but eventually they got to win a game.
Yeah.
This seems like one of them.
Why not us?
Jacksonville at St. Louis. Jacksonville at St. Louis.
We're talking a lot about the spread, what it would be next week when they play at Denver, and people are saying 28. This tells you all you need to know about Jacksonville. St. Louis by 11.5.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if St. Louis has scored 11 points all year.
I'm going to take St. Louis to win and cover. I think Jacksonville stinks. I'll be rooting for Jordan Todman, but not to score too many points so I can be right.
Yeah, I can see this being a cover with St. Louis scoring only 17 points. So I'll take the Rams to
really,
win and cover.
Really, 14. No. 14-2 gets it
yeah,
done.
That's true.
I'm going to take St. Louis to win the game, but I'm going to take the points. I don't know why. I just...
I'm with
oh,
you.
By that's, the way, 92 Seahawks is the team with the lowest score.
They're just too bad of a team to be laying 11.5 points with.
Yeah.
The 92 Seahawks lowest scoring
2-14, 140 points. Cortez Kennedy won Defensive Player of the Year for a 2-14 team.
Now, that's the fewest points in a 16-game season?
Correct.
I'm with
the
Paul.
Jaguars are on
St. Louis wins, but Jacksonville covers. Sunday at 1, Kansas City at Tennessee.
Kansas City by 3. With Ryan Fitzpatrick at the helm.
I'll take Kansas City to win and cover because Ryan Fitzpatrick's at the helm. And Kansas City not turning the ball over, playing.
Right, playing
they have
decent.
Some playmakers on both sides of the ball. Lamar Houston going off. Houston has no problem getting to the quarterback.
Oh, I see what he did
take
there.
Take the Chiefs. Boom.
Yeah, they're playing inspired football with Andy Reid and Alex Smith.
I don't know.
Justin?
Justin, maybe.
I'm gonna go with Kansas City over a over the,
Lamar
the most
Houston
anonymous team.
I think he's a Hall of Famer,
isn't
he?
Listening.
Oh, and,
just,
and Locker's out, right? So who's the quarterback for
He
Tennessee?
Just said
Ryan Fitzpatrick
at the helm.
You can't take it personally. No one listens to anyone on this show.
Kansas City.
You got two ears and one mouth. Talk less.
Use them accordingly. I will take Tennessee. This is the game that the Tennessee defense does your Alex Smith thing. Just you don't have the faith in Alex Smith. Tennessee defensively pretty good. Everybody probably figures it's all over for them without Locker, even though Locker really isn't playing all that well. Tennessee.
I'm with Paul. Tennessee. Sunday, 4:05, Carolina at Arizona. Carolina at Arizona by two.
I don't like either of these teams. So I'm going to take the home team that's favored by two. I'll lay the points, obviously.
Carolina at Arizona, you said?
Correct. By two.
Players of the month. Justin Houston.
A lot of consternation.
Oh, yeah. He was having a great month. Yeah.
He does not have a problem, Lindy said.
Right.
I will.
Neither does his brother Lamar.
I will take the home Arizona Cardinals. For that, just the reason that they're at home.
I do think that Carolina is decent, and they were one of my sleeper picks. I'm going to stick with them. I think they blow Arizona off the field.
Blowed out.
I'm going to go with Arizona. Not sure about either of these teams, but I'll do Paul's thing. They're at home. Sunday, 4:25, Denver at Dallas.
Bum, 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 bum.
Denver at Dallas.
Do you have Dallas favored?
Yeah, Denver by seven. I'm guessing that there's supposed to be a plus there.
I'll take Denver. I mean,
I'll check
rolling.
It upstairs.
Somebody's going to knock them off. I don't think they're good enough to go 16-0. I know everybody's already talking about that. This isn't the week. I still just to go against that offense with how good it looks right now. I just can't do it.
Right.
This might be a
cover, by the way.
This might be a little bit closer than some people think. For much of the game, but I think in the end it's a cover, not by much though.
Okay.
Maybe a 10-point win.
All right.
So, but I'll take the Broncos.
Yeah, I hear what you guys are saying. I'm going to stick with Denver too, but I do think there's a chance. This is the kind of game Dallas, you know, they do have a talented team, and all of a sudden they decide, oh, this is an important game, so
we'll show playmakers.
You know, we're going to show up to play, but I just think Denver finds a way.
Paul, you're absolutely right, and Dallas does find a way.
Dallas does find a way.
Dallas wins this game. My upset special of the week, you can lock
it
in.
Wow. From a now former Broncos fan.
I'm going to check these spreads upstairs because I have an awful lot of minuses.
But it's picking
sure
with his heart.
Money.
He is hoping the Broncos get knocked off.
I'm getting a little annoyed with the Broncos. ESPN had a little tweet today that said that they've won 15 straight regular season games. That talk is starting.
They're coming up on the Colts record.
Right, I got to have them lose.
Have you checked the ticket? Make sure there's no subtleties in the ticket.
Right. I heard you, Paul.
By the way, rant time.
Yeah.
Another one of the most ridiculous things ever.
Okay.
That the NFL only recognizes regular season wins in the longest winning streak of all time. Like, the Patriots don't hold that record because they did it all through the playoffs, too.
Right.
Another one of the dumbest things ever.
So I'm getting annoyed.
Those geniuses at the league.
Do you know, seriously, the Colts have the longest winning streak in NFL history.
That's ridiculous.
Despite the fact that they lost in the middle of the winning streak.
That's ridiculous.
Houston at San Francisco, Sunday night, 8:30. Houston.
Niners by seven. Houston at San Francisco by seven.
J.J. Watt's tired of losing.
Yeah.
He should be.
He should be tired of looking like he just finished an MMA fight.
Awfully bitchy last week.
They have talented football team that should not be losing the way they're losing, giving up leads the way they're giving up leads. I am going to go with the San Francisco 49ers. It just, you know, with them, it's all about Kaepernick. If he plays well, they're going to win. If he doesn't, they're going to lose. Plus, they signed Jermaine Cunningham, right? So that should put him over the top. It'd be great if he goes somewhere and it's great.
No, it wouldn't be great.
It would be funny. Like, they're Eric like, Alden Smith, stay in rehab. We got Jermaine Cunningham now.
Eric doesn't like him.
No.
What happened with him?
He's just useless all around. Useless player, useless quote, useless personality. He's nothing. Useless.
Okay.
That's the kind of negativity that guy would like.
I was very annoyed with him that one game.
Football.
He played that one game.
Football.
Football. Right. Just
football.
He was an a-hole.
Every question.
Night. He was a complete and total
especially
DB.
Considering the fact that he had been on the team for 4 years and that was his first tackle.
Right. Right. Yeah. He was a total DB that night and yep. Yeah, he didn't need to be that kind of a-hole.
No. I will grudgingly take the 49ers in this game because it's really frustrating that Houston is losing these games. They should be a better team than
they
that.
They have a problem.
They do have a problem. That Houston does have a problem. So I'll go with
sign
the home
up Lamar.
Team.
All right.
I will take the Niners.
Yeah. Me too. Niners.
Niners.
Sunday night. Now, I know we're all going to stay up for this one. 11:35. This is a East Coast start.
We're going to be here.
San Diego at Oakland.
We better not be.
11:35 East Coast?
What are you talking about?
They have moved the game.
That game is 11:35.
Because of Major League Baseball. So it in essence,
it's an 8:35 start.
It's an 8:35 start on the West Coast.
On the West Coast, it's 11:35. San Diego,
Oakland.
Because they don't. They needed more time to change over from baseball.
The NFL can move their game, but Baltimore can't move their stupid open. You know,
I would tell the baseball to go f themselves. Could they have in any way?
No, it's in the stadium.
You would have the Ron
Burgundy same stadium
clip in that case.
I would have said I have a game scheduled. You play yours some other time, some other place.
Fred, is that
the baseball team is playing on a day that the football team's not playing? They're playing Saturday night.
Oh, so what's the issue?
So they need more time to change the field back over.
Because they play, because they're playing baseball on the same field that they're going to play football.
Right. They
what
the
takes
people,
like 24 hours?
The people in Oakland are saying that they can't get the stadium ready until fast enough to play at the normal time.
Moving
that's
the seats,
why they moved it.
Oh, Dotco, that's ridiculous. It's O.co, right?
Correct.
That's anyway, this starts at 11:35.
Oco.
San Diego.
Who's going to watch that?
Is it even on TV, though?
Yeah, Fred will.
I probably will.
No, you won't. You're not going to watch a game that starts at 11:35.
I'll watch the kickoff and some of it.
What's
You'll
it
be
on
awake?
NFL Network?
Yes.
Yeah, they put it on NFL Lord. Network.
So there's no Sunday night game?
No, yes. There's a Sunday night game.
We just talked about it. Houston at
the
San
double
Francisco.
Header,
yeah,
double header Sunday night.
This will be after the Sunday night game.
So, yeah.
Two Sunday night games. Rarity.
Really? Yeah, if there's any
San Diego
even a hint
by
of a delay,
a
it'll be a Monday morning game.
Right.
Now I know how the Australians feel when they want to watch a Patriots game. LT in Adelaide.
So who are you picking? Who are you picking, by the way?
4.5.
What game?
San Diego.
Oh, my God.
Oakland.
San Diego.
Wow. I mean, Oakland is bad, but.
Got to hurry because we want to talk about the Patriots.
There's really no question who's
I wanted to talk about the Patriots game an hour 45 ago.
San Diego.
Super Charm. I'll go with San Diego as well. All right, the final game before the Patriots, Monday night, Jets at Atlanta.
Atlanta by 9.5.
That which cures all the ills for the Falcons, the Jets. I'll take the Falcons. Win in cover.
Yeah, I agree. They will take out their frustrations on the Jets. Falcons win in cover.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same, Atlanta.
I'll say Atlanta wins, but they don't cover.
Oh, you're being different.
He's going to pick Atlanta, but he
all
thinks
right.
The Jets are going
to now we go back. We go back to Sunday at 1.
Paul, go back for us, please.
The New England Patriots at the Cincinnati Bengals.
Bengals by 1.5.
1.5.
You know, I came down here, and all week I've had every intention of picking the Patriots, and then Fred just has me worried that, like, nobody's going to play receiver, they're all hurt, that this team is so banged up. But I have no faith in Marvin Lewis, and I have less faith than I thought I would have at this point in Andy Dalton. And I hate to be cliche, but we got the coach, we got the quarterback. I'll take the guy who's been to 5 Super Bowls since 2000, whatever, not the guy who's 81 and 82 since then, has never won a playoff game. Talented roster in Cincinnati. Marvin Lewis is the problem. Patriots win by 10.
Okay. Eric. I mean, eventually the Patriots have to lose or else your 8-8 can't come true, right?
It was 9-7, and obviously that's already changed because they
won
one
off.
Of the games. I'm only one
only
off
one
right
off.
Now, so I'm going to stick with my season predictions to this point, and the Patriots will go on the road and lose a tough game to a Cincinnati Bengals team. That is
to a Cincinnati Bengals team. Yeah. I don't know which one. It's
well,
going to be a Cincinnati Bengals team.
I wanted to hurry up because, you know.
Yeah, I am going to take the Patriots to win the game. I think it will be a very tight game.
Not
I think it'll
Cincinnati
be a little
Reds
bit lower
team.
Scoring than last week. I think
Bengals
that
team.
The difference is Brady. And he finds a way, maybe even similar to the opening week, 23-21, maybe a late field goal to win it.
What was
well,
the spread?
Cincinnati by 1.5.
Ooh. I am going to pick the Bengals in this game. I think these injuries...
Wait a minute. You really have to change it then.
These injuries are for real. I think
Bengals injuries evidently aren't for real. their whole secondary is out, but that's okay.
I think there's a reason why they signed Austin Colley today. There's a little bit of panic mode when it comes to targets for Brady in this particular game.
Panic mode?
I think so. I think that they're worried.
Yeah, sign a guy like Colley.
Now,
this is the tone you had earlier that started to make me worry.
Well, that's why I'm picking the Bengals.
Panic mode, Paul Perillo.
That's why I'm picking the Bengals
in this game.
Panic
mode.
So
you're pushing the button.
Yeah. For this game, for this particular game.
So it'll all be cured next week.
Oh, of course.
When they have all their depth back.
They'll be ready. They'll be ready for the Saints. Of course they will.
They'll have deep depth next week.
Right. I mean, I can't believe you just used the word panic.
They had to. They felt they needed to bring in Colley.
By the way, they do need to make two moves, right? Theoretically, because
if
Colley replaces Wilforce, and we think Forston is going to get a promotion, somebody else is going to have to go.
Yeah.
Right?
Do we know that Forston's getting a promotion?
No. We're speculating.
Yeah. That they'll need to add some deep depth at the defensive line.
Then they should. The only other speculation you could have is that Slater's wrist is more of a problem than.
And he goes on IR?
He goes on IR, yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks for listening.
Panic.
Up next is John Rook with the playbook. Hey, John.
Hey, Fred. I can't believe that I'm actually stunned to hear you say what you just said.
Well, you know.
Panic in Foxborough.
Details at 11.
I think offensively they've got some problems this week.
It would have to be freak out in Foxborough.
Guys,
freak out in Foxborough. More at 11.
Guys, in that time there, I've gone back and I've done some research. The last time Fred picked against the Patriots was Week 3 of 2001, which otherwise known as the first game that Tom Brady played.
Liar.
I like it.
Well done, Tom.
All right.
I like it.
All right.
Joe Reedy from Cincinnati Inquirer will join us in the opening hour. Russell Up Baxter, hour two.
Okay, and then at 4 o'clock, Football Nation, we'll see you next Tuesday. Yeah.
Need his name up in lights. He just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat of the mic. He feels so unlike everybody else.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.